on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Help me, brothers. Help me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Help me, brothers. Help me, sisters.
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's the blow that the low made.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man. Charity, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome. Did I say welcome? Welcome to the morning wake-up call. I'm Liz Brown. My goodness gracious. Be careful. This show may be recorded, too. And I'm not talking about just by WhiteRoseSociety.org. If you are like me, and I know many of you are, If you are like me, you spend your hours on the net, a large part of them, Googling. Google this, Google that, Google where did we how did we do it before Google? How did we do it before fax machines? How did we do it before Xerox copiers? How did we do it? But our good government apparently is digging on. I like that, digging on. He's digging on you. Our good government is digging on us. They know that we like to Google, too. They know we dig Googling. So what is our good government trying to do? Well, they're saying, you know, if all these Americans out here are Googling, we need to find out what they're Googling about. So our good government, George Bush, asked on Wednesday that a federal court order Google to turn over a bunch of material from its databases. Now, here's the thing. I don't think that Google is the going to be the savior or the major protector of the First Amendment. I don't think that they are. I think that the major reason, or a reason, or it's in there somewhere, a reason why Google is taking this on too, I want to emphasize this one phrase. They're closely guarded databases. Do you know how much information that a competitor, let's say, not even a competitor, because we can't even use that word anymore nowadays. We have to use the word contributors. You know how much a contributor to George W. Bush's campaign would love to have access to the closely guarded databases of Google. You know how much they would like that? And the way that things run in this administration is, you know, one hand washes the other, one hand washes the whole body of the other. You got it, I'll get it. They got it, it's coming to me. It is a transparent, in a way, administration. Transparent from the perspective of those that pay money to this administration have entitlement to any information that they want. So a competitor of Google, a wanta competitor of Google, not even a competitor of Google, but a person that could utilize what Google has already done with their hard-earned money, hard-earned cash, hard-earned earned thought process and ingenuity, creativity. They want what Google got. You think they can't get it from this administration? Google is doing something that, you know, and in all fairness, Google has the money, has the jing to fight back. They're a billion dollar company. In court papers filed in the U.S. District Court, San Jose, do you know the way, they received, Justice Department lawyers revealed that Google has refused to comply with a subpoena issued last year, which include a request for 1 million random web addresses and records of all Google searches from any 1 week period. Do you understand what that means, Mr. and Mrs. America out there? Do you understand what that means, Mr. and Ms. America out there? Howard's cussing in, over there. I can't repeat what he says, but I agree with it. They want everybody in America's search during 1 week period. And they won't tell you what the week was. So I guarantee you that there has not been a week in my life that I have, and unless it's a weekend, but that's not a week. That's only one day out of the week. I guarantee you there's not a week in my life that I have been on my computer that I have not used a Google search. There hasn't been. And let me ask you, Mr. and Mrs. America out there, boys and girls, Americans out there, I love the red, white, and blue. I bleed red, white, and blue, American. I've got every Made in China sticker in the world on my car to show how much of American I am. I'm talking to you. How you feel about your government knowing what your child has searched on the internet with Google? Hell, you don't even know that. So your government's going to know that. How do you feel about a government that says we have the right to know what every American is doing on their private time? Online predators. That's what I'm talking about our government. I want you to feel me on this, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to feel me on this. These are the same Keystone Cops that didn't move on information that they got that Osama bin Laden was going to bomb this country. These are the same Keystone Cops that said, why would, huh? That he was going to use planes to do it. They said, well, we couldn't pay any attention to that. These are the same incompetents that didn't find Saddam Hussein. These are the same folks that said, I swear to you. They said, I swear before God and Jesus and biscuits that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. I swear to you, ladies and gentlemen, mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, aunts and uncles, cousins, nephews, nieces, etc., etc. I swear before all of you, because I'm a Christian, God-fearing man, that they've got weapons of mass destruction. Oops. It was bad intelligence. So, you're saying that the same... Okay, I don't want to cuss. You're saying that the same dumb bunnies, the same dumb bunnies that gave you the wrong, that gave you faulty intelligence that has taken us into a multi-trillion dollar great adventure in Iraq. They're the ones that want to mine my Googling for a week, and they're going to be able to draw some kind of conclusion about terrorism. When every conclusion that they've drawn, it's been wrong. And every conclusion that they should have drawn, they've ignored. It's been said to George Bush and his friends in a word, no. But I feel compelled this morning. Put your hands over your baby's ears. I feel compelled this morning to say H-E double toothpicks, no. 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 Nicole Wong, an associate general counsel for Google, said the company will fight the government's efforts vigorously. Google that. Google vigorously. See what you come up with. The case worries privacy advocates, you think? This is exactly the kind of case that privacy advocates have long feared. The idea that these massive databases are now being thrown open to anybody with a court document is the worst case scenario. If they lose this, consumers will think twice about letting Google deep into their lives. How do you get them out? How do you get them out? And by the way, that's why I don't search. This is why I don't search with Yahoo. Yahoo said, oh, I'm sorry, you didn't want my records? Here. Yahoo gave their stuff up. Yahoo said, yeah. AOL said, ain't nothing but a thing. They gave their records up, too. That's why I don't search. That's why I don't search on them. Because they said yes. They said yes. And you know what? You know what our government is doing? You know why our government is saying that they should have the right to see what all of us, every American, has searched. Every American on the internet who has searched is in this, will now be in a government database. Whether you're 7 years old or 700 years old. And you know what our good government says? Why they need the information? Because we're trying to protect your children. Kiss my grits. Kiss my grits. You ain't trying to protect nobody's child. You're trying to round us all up. You're trying to round us all up. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I want to share with you an article written by Harvey Wasserman. He says, it's not really terrorists George W. Bush wants to bug and torture. It's you, baby. It's you. It's not really terrorism he wants to fight. It's opposition from people he can't control. It's not really U.S. security he wants to protect. It's the power of his regime. This isn't about war. It's about a dictatorship. It's about making power permanent by using private information against you and terrifying you with torture. George Bush and his road dogs believe that it rules by divine right. It's already redefined terrorist to mean anybody who questions its power. And it will use anti-terrorist wiretapping as a tool against anybody who opposes them. It's, oh, Jesus. Jesus. Huh. Let me ask you this. I'm going to ask you the question that Harvey Wasserman asked. If granted the power to torture, do you trust the Bush administration to refrain from torturing their political opponents? Let me throw this one at you. If granted the power to record private phone conversations, do you trust Karl Rove not to use this material against his political opponents? Who will Bush go after first? And let me ask you, and then let me just throw this at you. Y'all know the boy. Y'all know boy George. Answer this question for me. Who will George Bush go after first? Al-Qaeda or Cindy Sheehan? Who do you think you're going to go after? Who first? Al-Qaeda or Cindy Sheehan? Do you think that Karl Rove getting something juicy by listening in to the phone conversations? And by the way, he has not had his privileges revoked. He still has access to every level of government, no matter how dirty he is and how dirty all his friends are. He still has complete access to every level of the government. Who you gonna trust? And let me ask you this, for all of you all who think that this is about a sports team that I'm with, well, I bleed blue, baby. You're going to bleed red in a minute. But you are hysterically loyal to your team in Washington right now, like it's some dang sports game. Let me ask you this, sports fans. Let me ask you this. Would you trust Bill Clinton with this information, with this ability? And the answer, the honest answer, if you're capable of honesty, if any of you out there that are these blind, bubble-headed Bush defenders, BDs, bubble-headed BDs. Now let me ask you this. Would you trust Bill Clinton? Of course not. And here's a little secret, BDs. I wouldn't either. Nobody should have this authority. No one. No one should have absolute power in government. That's why there are checks and balances. I wouldn't trust Bill Clinton with this information anymore, with this ability to spy on anybody any more than I trust Bush. I just know more about how corrupt Bush is and how far he will go. Clinton didn't have the ability to have it. He didn't ask for it. And if he got it, he shouldn't have had it either. Nobody in government should have this kind of power and authority without checks and balances. And you are a bubble-headed BD fool if you believe otherwise. Four five four oh 400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. We have so much stuff to talk about. I'm gonna take a break, get a little cussing in, and then when I get back, we'll be able to continue this conversation. Stay with me.
And a rough way to go. Send it all around. traveler and a rough, rough way to go. But I can't turn back. My heart is fixed. My mind's made up. I'll never stop in my faith.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Westbound 40 at Clayton Morrison is closed due to an accident that's being diverted onto McKnight North, then north to Clayton Road or south to Manchester Road, depending upon which direction you're going. Traffic breaks up near Brentwood. Eastbound 44 to Viaduct and Pacific and Allenton Six Flags. Look for an accident involving a tractor-trailer. There's about a mile back up there. Northbound 55 between Merrimack Bottom and Loughboro. No problems to report. Eastbound 44 between 141 and Merrimack River Bridge. Look for no problems there. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and Kay. Look for a heavy volume going on. Eastbound 40 from 141 all the way to Brentwood is flowing freely this hour. Northbound 270 between Sappington and Big Bend. Look for everything to be on the move. Westbound 270 from Lilac to Washington Elizabeth. No problems to report there. Westbound 5570 at Poplar Street Bridge. Look for everything to be rolling steady. Westbound 64 between 5570 looks good. And northbound Route 3 from Poplar Street Bridge. Those ramps are looking good as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way onto Laclede's Landing is flowing freely. Route N at Shaper near Wentzville, there's a report of an overturned vehicle accident. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Once again, westbound 40 at Clayton Warson is closed due to an accident, and traffic is being diverted onto McKnight, and it backs up at this point all the way to Brentwood, so find an alternate if you're going westbound on 40. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Ticket for a Cure, 100% of the proceeds support the fight against breast cancer. Play Ticket for a Cure today, because when you play, everybody wins. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Cooler, rain likely, possibly even thunderstorms. High around 50 this evening. Colder, occasional rain and snow. No snow accumulations are expected. The low should be in the mid-30s. Moving on to Saturday, partly sunny skies with a high in the lower 40s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy once again with a low around 30. And then on Sunday, partly cloudy in the morning, becoming mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 53 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 54 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Reportedly, the United States is preparing to move militarily against Iran. The latest flap over Iran having nuclear capabilities may be just the excuse the Bush administration has been looking for. Former UN Weapons Inspector Scott Ritter has been sounding a warning on this very theme for several years now, and it appears he may have been right on the money. Will such military action involve Israel and NATO? Scott Ritter lays out a chilling scenario that could be a harbinger for world war on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
What is race? What is racism? How has racism been manifested, and what are its effects? The Missouri Historical Society addresses these fundamental issues during the 2005-2006 African American History Series. This Saturday, January 21st, Dr. Michael Benjamin will explore how early librarian Daniel Murray sought to preserve African American culture. Reservations are required. Call 314-361-9017. Prior to the program, attendees may purchase breakfast at the Missouri History Museum's award-winning restaurant, Meriwether's. Breakfast is $6 for the general public, $5 for Missouri Historical Society members. The presentation is free to all. Breakfast served at 9 a.m. The presentation begins at 10 a.m. For more information, visit www.mohistory.org.
Use your exercise bike for more than a clothes rack. Find out how by attending the St. Clair Life Fitness Fair, 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m., Friday and Saturday, January 20th and 21st, and from noon to 6, Sunday, January 22nd, at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. More than just another health fair, it's a showcase for retailers, service groups, healthcare professionals, and fitness pros, all ready to help you get in shape and improve your life. Night Magic Entertainment brings you music all weekend long. WGNU will be broadcasting from the fair on Friday. See a variety of singers, dancers, aerobic demonstrations. Enjoy a healthy snack. Stop by the center court to register for one of dozens of great prizes. Come on, you can do it. Get moving to the St. Clair Life Fitness Fair, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, January 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Sponsored in part by Night Magic Entertainment and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU. Get more details at spcshows.com. This is a specialized promotional contest production.
Another powerful interview is set for Friday morning here on The Wake Up Call. Shoddy screening procedures caused tens of thousands of hemophiliacs to become infected with AIDS and hepatitis during the 1980s. Today, half of those people are now dead. Journalist Stacy Milbauer wrote a book about the ordeal some of the survivors went through and also found some shocking reasons, mostly monetary greed, as to why it happened. Dying in Vain, that's V-E-I-N. With author Stacy Milbauer. Another revealing story you'll hear only on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Friday morning at 8. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Shall get them that's not, shall lose. So the Bible said, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Let me get to you. You're on the Wake Up Call.
How you doing, Liz?
Good morning. How are you, Dolores?
You know what, Liz? We should be scared out of our wits with George Bush in there. This, you know, remember now. Remember this little guy named Schultz that got on television some years back? I think it was during the Reagan. It was the Reagan administration, and said we have unequivocal proof on this paper right here. He held this paper and said that Gaddafi bombed this nightclub in I think it was Germany. Yeah, in Germany. And they knew when they said this, Liz, it was a lie. Excuse to go in there and bomb this man's country and kill his child. Now, yesterday when they made this statement that Bin Laden is going to attack the U.S., I told my husband, I said, that's a lie. This man haven't said that. This is a lie George Bush is telling so that he can go in there and just blow this country away. You know, the other day they went in there just talking about they were going to, they're trying to get the Al-Qaeda out of there, and they bombed an area and killed some innocent people. They had an excuse for killing these innocent people.
They said, and that their explanation was, we think we got some guys. We don't have any bodies. We don't have any names. But we think we got them. And tens of thousands of Pakistanians were in the street, howling bloody murder, because that's what it was.
Boy, this is why this is why this country is going to go straight under. I mean, it is just pitiful. And
people need to be riding their representatives like they in the Kentucky Derby. Gotta roll. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Carl.
Yes.
Good morning.
How you doing? It's a great day.
I am outstanding, Carl.
That is beautiful to hear. First, I'd like to just give thanks and praise to the Father of life for giving me life this day. I am being tired. I am tired. Being forced to try to pretend that my life means nothing and my family means nothing, that there's just make-believe story about my life that's going on in my life. I have said that I am homeless. I have been forced to be homeless.
Okay. Thank you, Carl. 454-0400 is my phone number. Orlando, good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
How are you?
Ms. Brown, I thought about you early this morning before you came on. I said, I'm going to call Ms. Brown and let her know that I have seen and experienced absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I just decided, I said, I wanted to call you this morning. Now, with the Supreme Court having these justices of conservatives that give deference to these people that are in office now, what do you think? They have thrown the Constitution away, Ms. Brown.
They believe that the Constitution is about putting full power, absolute power, in the hands of the executive branch.
In America, well, I'll say this and get off the air. Listen, I don't miss you no days, but, you know, a nation, I don't care how strong you think, it can fall from within. All right, you have a blessed day.
Take care of yourself. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. Larry, you're on the wake-up call.
How you doing, Ms. Brown?
I'm outstanding.
Okay, Ms. Brown, I know yesterday Bin Laden, you know, released.
You need to turn your radio down, Larry.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay. Yesterday Bin Laden released his new tape yesterday, and I didn't see prayers Bush come on, but I saw the other president, Cheney. Is Bush must be on one of them drinking binges again, because I haven't seen him on TV in about a week, I think.
I don't know. He may be on vacation. He may be on vacation, too.
He stay on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Because he does nothing. A puppet don't do nothing but get pulled by their strings. And that's the only job that he is. He is the number one puppet.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't seen him on TV. Yesterday I saw Cheney came on, making them, you know, responding to Bin Laden instead of the president himself. I wonder.
But understand, Cheney wasn't responding publicly. Cheney only goes outside of his chamber, outside of the bunker, into a fundraising event and back to his bunker. He was speaking from a fundraising event. He wasn't speaking to the public. He was speaking to a group of hand-picked, moneyed folks, and he went back to the bunker. So it's no different than Bush. Bush not speaking, because Cheney wasn't talking to us. He was talking to them.
Okay, sure was.
All right.
All right.
Thanks for your call.
Okay.
454-0400 is my phone number. Car phone.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. WGN, you got it going on, for starters. Your story that's at 8 o'clock, I really wish I could hear it, so I got to go to White Rose to catch it later on tonight. But they're now asking for kids from 2 to 10 years old to come in and take this Tamiflu virus so they could see the effects and how much dosage they should get each kid.
It is outrageous.
Isn't that amazing? That is sad. And now the Bush administration is cutting out of his 2007 budget the reconstruction monies for Iraq, because they think that the security is in place now to get the oil out so they can pay for their own, to get the infrastructure together. And they played a speech on him promising back in 2003 how much we were going to do, and this was going to be a free society. And I just switched from Yahoo and MSN and AOL and all that. I'll never search for a restaurant again on them as long as I live. Thank you, ma'am.
They gave it up. Yahoo, AOL, both. When the government said, give us your stuff, think of all the money that AOL has gotten from you all. They have money for attorneys. They don't have to get an appointed attorney. They've got money to fight this. And they said, here it is. Here's the information that you want. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Think about it. Walmart gives millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to the Bush administration. Walmart pays millions and millions of dollars to lobbyists to give to elected officials, Republicans, to have their way and have unlimited access into your lives. Walmart is a place where you can go and find a billion copies of AOL for free. What'd your mama tell you? What'd your daddy tell you? Ain't nothing in life free. Ain't nothing in life free. You think that's a coinky ding? You need to kick your mailman if he brings another one of those free AOLs and drops it in your mailbox. Huh. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. We're taking a break.
Listening to AM 920 WGNU.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Damascus. The leaders of Syria and Iran are meeting in Damascus today. On the table for discussion will be Tehran's defiance of the West's call for an end to its nuclear program and the threat to take this issue to the UN Security Council. Syria is the best Arab ally that Iran has, and the two have remained close since Syria stuck up for Iran when it went to war with Iraq in 1980. Syria is also facing allegations that it did not cooperate with the UN regarding the assassination of the former Prime Minister of Lebanon last year. Syrian officials have been implicated, and the UN wants to interview the current Syrian president and his foreign minister over the issue. And Dateline Charleston. More information is coming out about the West Virginia mine where 12 men died 2 weeks ago. During 2005, the Sago mine, had 19 roof cave-ins and was cited for 208 safety violations, about half of which were classified as serious and substantial. Portions of the mine were shut down 18 different times, and there were also what was described as unwarrantable failure citations on 16 occasions. Those are defined as blatant violations of safety rules. But in spite of all these safety issues, federal inspectors never forced the mine to close. 2 weeks before the tragedy, a federal inspector found loose coal in piles along walls and roadways, plus a buildup of explosive coal dust. A report prepared that day said the mine operator showed a high degree of negligence for allowing those unsafe conditions to exist. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Reportedly, the United States is preparing to move militarily against Iran. The latest flap over Iran having nuclear capabilities may be just the excuse the Bush administration has been looking for. Former UN Weapons Inspector Scott Ritter has been sounding a warning on this very theme for several years now, and it appears he may have been right on the money. Will such military action involve Israel and NATO? Scott Ritter lays out a chilling scenario that could be a harbinger for world war on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown.
I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. And stay tuned for today's solutions with David Lenihan from 4 to 6.
What is race? What is racism? How has racism been manifested and what are its effects? The Missouri Historical Society addresses these fundamental issues during the 2005-2006 African American History Series. This Saturday, January 21st, Dr. Michael Benjamin will explore how early librarian Daniel Murray sought to preserve African American culture. Reservations are required. Call 314-361-9017. Prior to the program, attendees may purchase breakfast at the Missouri History Museum's award-winning restaurant, Meriwether's. Breakfast is $6 for the general public, $5 for Missouri Historical Society members. The presentation is free to all. Breakfast served at 9 a.m. The presentation begins at 10 a.m. For more information, visit www.mohistory.org.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip, stop at Sears first, and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Another powerful interview is set for Friday morning here on the Wake Up Call. Shoddy screening procedures cause tens of thousands of hemophiliacs to become infected with AIDS and hepatitis during the 1980s. Today, half of those people are now dead. Journalist Stacy Milbauer wrote a book about the ordeal some of the survivors went through and also found some shocking reasons, mostly monetary greed, as to why it happened. Dying in Vain, that's V-E-I-N, with author Stacy Milbauer. Another revealing story you'll hear only on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown, Friday morning at 8.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Liz Brown.
I love you. I'll never
try
to hurt you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever too. Because you're my bad brother, strong brother. There is no one above you. I want you to
welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown, WGNU.net, LizBrown.com, LizzBrown.com. And if you missed an hour, go get your hour at WhiteRoseSociety.org. That's WhiteRoseSociety.org. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. Email me at Revolution@LizBrown.com. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Brown.
Morning.
Yes, I just wanted to call and thank you for the gentleman that you had on yesterday morning. You know about the history?
Mm-hmm.
It was a guest that you had on, I think it was Monday, I believe. And he was talking about the Christian people, and they interpreting from the Bible.
Okay.
You know, and I thought about that, you know, I've always said that it's not, and what I liked about him is that he didn't speak against Christian, he didn't speak against the Bible. He was just telling you something that we know as a fact today. And I was glad that he was a man that have a college degree and he goes all over the world to tell the public that. It's your interpretation. But when you let somebody else interpret to you, you will find things different. If you think about it. One of the greatest examples right now is all the news is about what is it called, plastic cash. Did you know that the Bible tells you that you've been had that in your house all your life, reading it every day, but the preachers will interpret it to you different because they tell you that it says that borrower is a slave to the lender. And this is what's on the news. I mean, it's so bad. People have gotten in debt with the credit card so bad until they got it on the news. They send them to churches. They send them to seminars, just like dope fiends or something.
Thanks for your call.
And thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We're going to have a show on that, as a matter of fact, how people in their 20s and their 30s have a debt that has never been seen before. Never been seen before. And what it's like to be at that point, at that place. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. I'm going to say it for the record. I'm going to say it for the record. This tape of Osama bin Laden is being used and utilized and worked, and you're being played. You're being played. It's being used. You can't tell me that the timing of this release of this tape is coincidental now that this administration is rightly under assault for spying on us. You all have to be, you must believe that we landed on the moon. If you don't understand, if you don't believe, if you don't know that this tape of Osama bin Laden trying to whip people up into a frenzy, trying to legitimize this, you want to know how much this is of a tool? Scotty McClellan, one of the most consistent, proficient liars that exists in this country. He's a spokesperson for George W. Bush, White House spokesperson. He was so excited about this Osama bin Laden tape. And let me tell you, tell me if this doesn't mean that they're using this tape for. He was so excited about that Osama bin Laden tape that he couldn't stop grinning. And if you're not into assessing what a grin means, okay, I understand. Some of you ain't got the chops, ain't got the skills to assess that. I understand. Let me give you this. He didn't even wait to be asked about the tape. He started off talking about that tape. You can run, but you can't hide. Dead or alive. We don't deal. We don't negotiate with terrorists. It was like, baby, I'm back. I got my 9/11 rhetoric out. I'm going to scare those Americans into taking anything that we want to give them out. And I'm going to get back in my playbook. Dead or alive, we don't negotiate with terrorists. They're not going to win. We're winning the war on terrorism. Oh, he was so excited. He was almost doing a happy dance. We're back, baby. How we back? We brought back, we found our boogeyman. You see the whole Saddam Hussein thing. He didn't turn out so good as a boogeyman for him. He looked more like a tired, pathetic little old man than a boogeyman. I mean, what's a boogeyman without his weapons of mass destruction? What kind of boogeyman is that? We need a new boogeyman. What's that song, I Need a Hero? No, we need a boogeyman. Scotty was almost just singing yesterday. Boogeyman's back, boogeyman's back. I can get back into my playbook, scaring Americans and terrorizing them at the same time. Scaring and terrorizing. Yeah, we spied on you because the boogeyman is out there. You don't believe the boogeyman's out there? Here's a tape of the boogeyman saying, I'm coming after you. So I know you're going to let me come in your house and do anything I want to protect you from the boogeyman. Ooh, I know who the boogeyman is. And he's not 6'4". He doesn't have a beard. And he's not dressed in Muslim clothing. He wears a three-piece suit with a red, white, and blue flag on his lapel. My name is Liz Brown. In the next hour, we will be doing what we always do on Fridays. What's Friday at 7 o'clock? It's Looking Black. Our guest this morning is going to be Jared Ball, Vox Radio. I'll be back. Stay with me.
love, peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress has been made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound, but the blow that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger.
We're very hopeful for a very successful outcome.
West Virginia Governor Joe Manchin as the search continues for two miners missing after a fire broke out in a mine near Charleston. Reporter Larry Bevins says, once again, a community is waiting and praying.
The families have been kept away from the news media and from the public. There is a small church about a quarter mile from the base of the mountain, and that's where they have been kept since about 8:30 Thursday evening, and very few people have seen them come out of the church. There have been individuals in the area who don't even know these families, but during the night brought different food items to the front of the church and just told the police authorities, please give these to the family.
12 miners made it out okay. Time may be running out for American journalist Jill Carroll. Her Iraqi captors have threatened to kill her today unless the U.S. releases all female prisoners it's holding there. Carroll's family appealed for her release. So is a major politician.
A prominent Sunni leader here in Baghdad appealed for the release of Jill Carroll. This is a significant event because this is the very same leader that Jill Carroll was to meet the morning she was kidnapped. He failed to show up for the appointment, and that's when Jill was taken from a dangerous Baghdad neighborhood.
ABC's Heather Nauert in Baghdad. The feds say that is Osama bin Laden on an audio tape that was broadcast yesterday on Al Jazeera. The al-Qaeda leader threatens new attacks on the U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney says Washington is ready.
It is no accident that we haven't been hit in more than 4 years. We've been protected by sensible policy decisions, by decisive action at home and abroad, and by round-the-clock efforts on the part of people in the armed services, law enforcement, intelligence, and Homeland Security.
Bin Laden says he'd abandon his plans if American troops leave Iraq. Not likely, says the White House.
It is no accident.
For about $100, you can shorten the time you spend in airport security. If you pass a background check, you can become a trusted traveler of the TSA. This is ABC News.
I love sledding, but I'm so cold. Let's go to my house for Ovaltine Hot.
All right, Ovaltine Hot, come on!
The kids will be back soon. Let's make them rich chocolate Ovaltine Hot.
Great idea.
Dave's mom's making
creamy, chocolatey Ovaltine Hot.
Yeah!
Oh, Ovaltine's made with milk.
Yeah, so Ovaltine tastes creamy. And it's full of vitamins and minerals. Swiss Miss and Nestle Hot Cocoa aren't.
Mom, we're here. Who wants Ovaltine Hot?
Me!
Let's make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
Walmart and Sam's Club have teamed up with Humana to provide you with all the information you need about the new Medicare prescription drug benefit. Enroll today. Log on to walmart.com/Medicare or talk with your Walmart pharmacist or Humana sales representative. Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies accept all Medicare prescription drug benefit plans. Medicare-approved HMO, PPO, and PFFS plans available to anyone enrolled in Part B and entitled to Part A of Medicare through age or disability. Copayment, service area, and benefit limitations may apply.
Where's the beef? It might not be in Japan much longer. American beef, that is.
Banned beef products, thought to be things like backbone material, detected in the shipment at Narita Airport, and swiftly kicked off a flurry of diplomatic activity. Japan's agriculture minister is recommending reimposing a total ban on U.S. beef imports. All eyes are now on the prime minister. Mad cow concerns had halted imports for 2 years, and that costly ban was just lifted in December.
That's ABC's Tom Rivers in London. Singer Wilson Pickett has died. His hits, like this one, In the Midnight Hour, and others, inspired rock and roll artists for decades. Pickett had a heart attack. He was 64 years old. You're not getting older, baby boomers. You're getting, well, you actually are getting older. A new study finds more than 60% of the boomers are treated for chronic health problems, everything from diabetes to high blood pressure to heart trouble. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
For another WGNU News update, this report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. Most residents of a senior apartment complex in South St. Louis are back home after a smoky fire yesterday. The two-alarm fire at the Sheraton Senior Apartments on Michigan was confined to the fourth-floor unit where it began, but firefighters rescued some residents from smoke-filled apartments. A few people, including a police officer, were treated for smoke inhalation. From the world of sports, the St. Louis Rams have a new head coach. The team announced yesterday Scott Linehan will take Mike Martz's place. Linehan, formerly the offensive coordinator for the Miami Dolphins, will be introduced this morning at a press conference at Rams Park. In other news, a St. Louis alderman says misinformation about his proposal has made a major attention getter out of a minor issue. Ninth Ward Alderman Kenneth Ortman has proposed a bill that would separate public urination from the classification of an indecent or lewd act, where it is currently listed in another city ordinance. Ortman says his proposal does not change the penalties for public urination or eliminate the possibility of filing indecent and lewd act charges against people who urinate in public. The bill is on hold in an aldermanic committee. Missouri Senators Kit Bond and Jim Talent are supporting Judge Samuel Alito. The senators were in St. Louis yesterday to announce they'll vote for Alito's confirmation for the U.S. Supreme Court. Meanwhile, Illinois Senator Dick Durbin is on record as opposing Alito's confirmation. The Senate Judiciary Committee is expected to vote on Alito next Tuesday. Talent, meanwhile, is talking about the government's role in broadcast indecency regulations. There is concern that with the advent of satellite radio, more explicit content will be broadcast. Talent says there's a fine line that the government has to walk when it comes to regulating broadcasts.
You have to give people a broad leeway to view what they want or to hear what they want. Now, there are limits, and the government has a lot of power to protect kids, for example, and that sort of thing, and I'll look at those kinds of proposals. But basically, these are decisions that we make on our own or culturally, and you have to be careful when the government regulates. That doesn't mean that it's wrong to do it, but you have to be careful.
Talis says having decency in broadcasting is the responsibility of the people in charge of programming, and that people with concerns about indecency have every right to complain. Talent also says while the government should play a role in encouraging decency, it should have a limited role in requiring decency. That's WGNU News brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's ticket for the cure. 100% proceeds support the fight against breast cancer. Play Ticket for the Cure today because when you play, everybody wins. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Tonight's Billy Graham's Television Special. Westbound 40 at the Clayton Warson exit is closed due to an accident. Traffic is being diverted onto McKnight exit, then north onto Clayton or south onto Manchester, and traffic jams through Hanley. Eastbound 40 at Lindbergh, look for an accident. The left lane is blocked and traffic backs up to near Ballas. Eastbound 44 at the Viaduct and the Allenton Six Flags exit, look for an accident involving a tractor trailer. Only the left lane is open at this hour. It's about a 2 mile jam all the way back through Gray Summit. Northbound 270 at Doherty Ferry, look for Manchester, look for an accident in the right shoulder and traffic slows at Big Bend. Northbound 55 between 270 and Holly Hills, no problem to report. Eastbound 70 at Bryan and K, look for heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Westbound 270 at 367 and Graham Hanley, no problems to report. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 64 to 5570 merge, look for no problems there. Northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the ramps of the Poplar Street Bridge are moving well this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way on to Laclede's Landing looks good. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by tonight's Billy Graham Television Special. Don't miss Carolina Panthers' John Casey, Olympic skater Travis Cabral, the late Johnny Cash, and an inspiring message from the New York Crusade in tonight's Billy Graham Special at 7 on KMOV Channel 4. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Cool, rain likely, Chance of thunderstorms with a high around 50 this evening. Colder, occasional rain and or snow. No snow accumulations are expected. The low should be in the mid-30s. Moving on to Saturday, partly sunny skies, a high around 40. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. And Sunday, partly cloudy in the morning, becoming mostly cloudy by the afternoon with a high in the mid-40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under partly cloudy skies, we have 53 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 54. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. It's Looking Black right here on AM 920 WGNU. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me, sister. To use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. We struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Today's edition of Looking Black on the award-winning Wake Up Call is brought to you by
Light It Up Scented Candles, 283-1827, 283-1827.
Welcome to this week's edition of Looking Black, a review of issues that have impacted your life this week and where they may take us next from differing perspectives. Here's Liz Brown and our guest journalists for this week.
Welcome, welcome to Looking Black, and our guest journalist today is Jared Ball, and he is joining us from, Jared, good morning.
Good morning.
Where are you this morning?
I'm in Washington, D.C., the capital of the beast.
how you doing out there?
I'm actually doing just perfectly, and I would like to extend a figurative cigar to you and all your listeners to celebrate the birth of our first child. Our queen was born on King's Day, Monday, this week.
Very good. What's her name?
Maisy Deyanira.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yes.
Is this your first baby?
This is our first baby.
Oh.
And she came into the world on King's Day, so we're expecting big things.
Absolutely. That's the day after my birthday.
Oh, happy belated.
So I know she's all right.
But how wrong could she be?
There you go.
So, yeah, everything in my world is pretty good at this moment.
All right,
I have new daddy syndrome.
All right now. All right. right? Now, so now this stuff is even more real. You got a whole lot of stuff to clean up.
And the imperative to try to make this world better for her has kicked into full gear as well. So, as usual, I'm happy to join you this morning.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate the invitation.
And your wife is doing? How's she doing?
Oh, she's doing just fine. Mm-hmm. She is a true trooper.
Was she a big baby?
7 pounds, 7 ounces, and 21 inches. So, yes, and considering my wife is only 4'11".
Yes, she is. Yes,
she was a big baby.
Yes, she was a big baby.
A big baby just like her daddy. So, but everybody's healthy. Everybody's recovering, and we're all adjusting and you know, figuring out how we are going to, you know, communicate with one another and take care of one another. Everything is just it's just wonderful. It's
very
just wonderful.
But, so there's more of an imperative to change this world, huh?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, like you said, it's all become that much more real.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So what you want to talk about this morning?
I mean, it could be any number of things. I mean, the primary thing, again, is I've been trying to perform and complete the academic work last semester and try to work with youth in the area here in Washington, D.C. A lot of what I do is try to look at the music industry, particularly the hip-hop industry, its relationship to consolidated radio and copyright, and begin to try to ask and answer those questions. Why do we like what we like? How do we know what we know? And why and to what end is what is popular? In other words, what is the politics of popularity? And I was trying to put it in this week in the context of something I'm sure you've been talking about, of Harry Belafonte's statements about Bush being the number one tyrant and terrorist in the world.
And I was talking about that last week with Margaret Kimberly.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
She was on the show last week. And I was commenting to her about this, Jared. I imagine that you have watched The Daily Show one or two times.
Of course.
And I've always really, prior to these last few months, I have really, really, really enjoyed the Daily Show and felt that it was just a bastion for another way, the right way of thinking and the right way of criticizing. But it brought it home to me with Harry Belafonte's comment that it's still a white show.
We went to the same place.
It's still a white. Did you see it when they
absolutely?
And did you hear the audience?
I absolutely did, and this is exactly what I'm getting to. But go ahead.
You know, because the audience, when they played that clip, you would have thought that they were on Rush Limbaugh's show,
right?
Because the audience said, "Oh no, what you mean that you don't agree with that?"
Exactly.
And it just brought it home. It's still white. Right. There is still the issue of there are lines of demarcation of how far you're going to be as a white progressive liberal. There's a line that you ain't going to step over.
Exactly. The way I try to connect it is and to make it contemporary, and particularly for the younger audiences that I have to work with as an educator and an activist, is that there is a reason why very few people, my generation and younger, know much about Harry Belafonte, and there's a reason why the reaction that we saw on The Daily Show existed, not exclusively because it was a white audience. Unfortunately, several black young audiences around the country have responded in similar fashion.
Say it ain't so. Say it
simply
ain't
because,
so.
Well, this is the point I'm trying to get to. I'm taking too long to get there, is that there is a politics to popularity. The music industry is playing one facet of the larger grand colonizing function of dominant media, which is to perpetuate and promote acceptable images of the people they intend to rule. So in this case, we're speaking of African America. There, as our position must be played in this grander intercommunal colonial setting, we can only have certain range of popular images that function and facilitate this dominant subordinate relationship. So you can't have black popular people speaking like Harry Belafonte. So as the music industry has shifted to further perform this role, people like Belafonte have been pushed further and further to the margins, to the point where at one point, having survived the Red Scare and the blacklists, people like Belafonte could have reached a crescendo in their popularity. The response and the backlash to that has been, in the sense of hip-hop, to create a popular image of blackness that is as diametrically opposed to what Belafonte was trying to do as possible. So what you end up with are people, as Charles Mills says about Europeans and the Western world and its view of the rest of the world, that they've developed consensual hallucinations which leave them unable to interpret the reality that they created. So you have, in this case, a white America creating a black image to make sure that there are no more Paul Robesons, that there are no more Harry Belafontes, that there are no more Bob Marleys, and then to replace them with 50 Cent, to replace them with Snoops, to replace them with another popular black image that...
P. Diddy.
All of them. Jay-Z, mm-hmm. Russell Simmons,
all of them.
So that you get a popular black image that, speaking of Russell Simmons, that would allow him to support Bloomberg and the New York's mayoral campaign. And then
what's his name
Bob Johnson.
Bob Johnson to now be part of, are you ready for this?
What's this?
Carlisle Group.
Oh, wow.
Carlisle Group.
Oh, wow.
Carlisle Group. And it was a teeny tiny 4-line, 30-word segment in USA Today in the business section.
So he is a
he's getting funding from the Carlisle Group, wow, to do his stuff. Now what?
Well, and that's big, and that also relates, and we should remember, you know, oh, man, there's so many connections and avenues to go. But we should remember, now that you mentioned that the Carlisle Group is not just a primary defense contractor, but they have gotten involved in media in the sense of buying Lowe's movie theater chains in an attempt to block Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11 a couple of years ago.
Mm.
So they are highly aware of the need to manipulate popularity and to manipulate popular consciousness to have their goals achieved. And this is, again, that point I was just trying to make, that you can't have a Harry Belafonte in the 21st century in terms of young, popular, intelligent, famous entertainer. You have to have the acceptable image, which is, as I was just describing, you were just describing this negative hip-hop milieu at this point, so that people, white and black, will respond as Jon Stewart did. We were all lulled into this false sense that this is a progressive, dare I say, radical even show.
Not no more.
And then when it comes to a, particularly a black man in league with a Latino American
who look like us.
You know, with Castro,
that's right,
and Morales in Bolivia,
that's,
and all,
right,
you know, when you have this kind of linking occurring, this is the grand fear. This is the great fear of the elite. So you have to have it be depicted, even in the so-called white left circles, as here's this banana boat singing man.
There you go.
Speaking
you
out
go.
The side of his neck.
Who is
and who is he?
And the one of the most fearless men out there.
Exactly.
One of the most fearless men out there. And could you do me a favor? Could you tie this whole characterization and this whole reconfiguration and development of where power in black people comes from to what I think is one of the most profane movies made, Crash?
Oh.
Is there a tie between the message up out of Crash and what you're saying right now?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, it should be noted that the white liberals like Roger Ebert
loved it. Gave it 7 thumbs up.
But there is also, I saw, and you probably know more about this than I do, this Black Association of Film Critics.
I know. They listed it their number one movie.
Well, and this is part of the problem. Part of the first thing, of course, we have to understand that there is an intended relation. There's an intended situation of power and the need to rule. We have to understand that this is, you know, that first layer. This is not a democracy. This is about social order. This is about control, manipulation of a majority of the population to be ruled by what is the only minority group worthy of substantive study in this world, which is the white elite male. That's the first level that has to be understood.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to understand what role culture and popular consciousness and media manipulation play in that. It's the number one facet of rule, and the elite talk about this in their inner, you know, their inner writings, like the Wall Street Journal, mm-hmm. the Financial Times, and other places. They talk about we need cultural imperialism to you know, the Council on Foreign Relations. This is what their writings are about. How do we manipulate people's culture and their consciousness so that we don't have to rely so much on the overt and blunt tactics mm-hmm. of the gun and the whip and the chain? Then underneath that, you could add all these things that you're talking about. So then what is the function of popular media? In this case, Crash, right? Mm-hmm. So you have this film that depicts racism as being something practiced equally among all groups to the benefit of none, right? So that there is no white supremacy. There is no creation of fallacious and largely arbitrary racial categorization for the purpose of separating and dividing out a majority of the population, again, in service to this true elite, right, the true minority, so that it's, you know, that must all be washed away
and
so
also,
that it appears as though everybody is caught up in this. And just as the movie was depicting, right, just as you might start to think and show empathy or sympathy for a character, here they come, you know, the Asian man you want to feel sorry for is trafficking in Chinese slave laborers, right?
Right.
You know, I mean, everybody is caught up in this equally, and there is no group benefiting from it.
And also, if I can just hop in here for a second, Jared. There were so many mind blowing messages in that movie. The idea that you hear that to illegitimate. I mean, not only did it say that it's all equal, but it also illegitimize racism against people of African descent.
Absolutely.
When then the brothers came out talking about being assaulted by this racism, what do? You illegitimize that by turning them into the criminals that they are accused of being. I just got to say this other thing that just drove me nuts. Then there's the other part of racism, that white racism, on the other hand, because there were no redeeming black people in that movie at all. Every black person was hugely, hugely, hugely flawed and unredeemed. Every white racist was redeemed in that movie. Redeemed, and redemption came in the most astounding way. All you got to do is fall down the steps and you're cured of your racism.
Mm.
When she fell down the steps and all of a sudden she liked her Hispanic housekeeper.
That's
come
right.
on,
and
come
so
on.
She was her best friend.
Come on. She fell down the step and that's all it takes to cure racism.
First of all, as for those of us who have any understanding about that relationship, need to understand is that for the most part, the biggest fakery of that scene is that for the most part, these Latina housekeepers aren't even spoken to.
Fact.
All right?
Fact.
Much less hugged and loved and confided in.
The men were feckless. The man who had the man put the gun in his baby's face.
Right.
All he did was run in the house with the police. He didn't come out and kick that man's behind.
Right.
Come on.
Well, and then also the scene where you have the L.A. police officers in a scene where Terrence Howard is.
Oh, I can't stand.
It's a standoff where they. The scene is, I think, meant to justify police brutality.
Absolutely.
Because everybody watching that scene was thinking, not only is the cop going to shoot him, but the cop would be justified in doing so because of his erratic and violent behavior.
And that he should.
And that he should.
And then that character, he didn't get mad at the cop.
Right.
He didn't get mad at the racism and the foul racism and the assault on his wife. He got mad at the black man. So
right.
He turned it into, again, racism is something that is justified against African people. It's something that can be cured out of white people by tripping down the steps.
Right.
And also that black people bring it upon themselves by their behavior.
And, you know, you just made that connection for me. I missed that he didn't lose it and become willing to violently confront
the
police.
That's right.
While his wife was being penetrated.
That's right. That's right.
But he did so through an argument with the black man.
And then his wife looked like she wanted to kiss the man that had assaulted her. If that was not a Thomas Jefferson moment, I don't know what is.
And you know what's also interesting is that I don't know if it was the same where you are, but out here, that photo, that scene, that picture of him carrying her from the fire was the poster.
It's the poster out here, too.
Jim. Right, okay.
It's the poster.
The other thing that I wanted to mention about that, that you brought up at the beginning, when with the depiction of the black man at the beginning of the movie, is that there's something, as we all have long lists of things that we plan to get to at one point. If this hasn't happened already and I've just missed it, I would like to at one point perform some sort of content analysis of films to show how black radicalism is depicted historically in film.
Are you in my head? Are you in my head? Because that's exactly what I'm fixing to do. That's exactly. Well, then, I'm going to start a film series like that, and we're going to start with Crash.
That is a great.
I taught a course at Webster University here in St. Louis called Cultural Diversity in the Media.
Mm.
And one of the comparisons that I made with and my mostly white students, and it was a very, very challenging life that I lived. I made the comparison that every negative message that was portrayed and put together in Birth of a Nation was repeated in Get on the Bus by Spike Lee.
Wow.
Yes, sir. And I had students writing papers making that point. Making that point.
Well, I mean, wow.
I'm gonna leave you in that stuck place. We gotta take a break.
All right.
We gotta take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is Looking Black. Our guest journalist today is new daddy, Jared Ball, and joining us from Washington, D.C. We'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurant. Westbound 40 between Hanley and 170. Look for that accident to be cleared, but traffic still jams in the causeway. Eastbound 44 at the Pacific Viaduct and Six Flags Allenton. There's an accident involving a tractor trailer. Traffic is being diverted onto the Pacific exit. Traffic jams at Gray Summit. Northbound 55 between Bayless and Brewery. No problems there. Eastbound 44 from 141 all the way to Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Eastbound 70 from K to 79. Look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Hanley. Look for stop and go traffic. Westbound 270 at West Florissant. Look for heavy volume going on there as well. Northbound 270 between Gravois and Doherty Ferry is stop and go. Eastbound 40 slows after 141 all the way to Mason Road. And westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 at the 5570 split. You can expect normal traffic. Northbound Route 3 between 8th Street and the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Cleve's Landing. Everything is moving well. 158 over on the Illinois side at Maple Drive. There's an injury accident. And 141 onto the ramp to westbound 44. There's a disabled vehicle partially blocking the ramp. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Enjoy a little daylight savings at McDonald's. Stop in for one of three delicious breakfast extra value meals, like an Egg McMuffin, hash browns, and a small coffee, all for under $3. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Cooler, rain likely, a chance of thunderstorms even today with a high around the 50s. This evening, colder, occasional rain and possibly snow. No snow accumulations are expected. The low should be in the mid-30s. Saturday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 40s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. And then on Sunday, partly cloudy skies in the morning, becoming mostly cloudy throughout the day with a high in the mid-40s. Currently, the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds and 54 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting cloudy skies and 55. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your News, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. It's Looking Black. Up next, following these commercials, I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Are you looking to set the perfect mood? Well, you need the perfect candle. Light it up, Scented Candles. 283-1827. That's 283-1827. Beautiful scents, beautiful fragrances, beautiful aromas. Perfect moods require a perfect candle. Light it up, Scented Candles. 283-1827. That's 283-1827.
Reportedly, the United States is preparing to move militarily against Iran. The latest flap over Iran having nuclear capabilities may be just the excuse the Bush administration has been looking for. Former UN Weapons Inspector Scott Ritter has been sounding a warning on this very theme for several years now, and it appears he may have been right on the money. Will such military action involve Israel and NATO? Scott Ritter lays out a chilling scenario that could be a harbinger for world war on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
Use your exercise bike for more than a clothes rack. Find out how by attending the St. Clair Life Fitness Fair, 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m., Friday and Saturday, January 20th and 21st, and from noon to 6, Sunday, January 22nd, at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. More than just another health fair, it's a showcase for retailers, service groups, healthcare professionals, and fitness pros, all ready to help you get in shape and improve your life. Night Magic Entertainment brings you music all weekend long. WGNU will be broadcasting from the fair on Friday. See a variety of singers, dancers, aerobic demonstrations. Enjoy a healthy snack. Stop by the center court to register for one of dozens of great prizes. Come on, you can do it. Get moving to the St. Clair Life Fitness Fair, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, January 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Sponsored in part by Night Magic Entertainment and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Another powerful interview is set for Friday morning here on the Wake Up Call. Shoddy screening procedures caused tens of thousands of hemophiliacs to become infected with AIDS and hepatitis during the 1980s. Today, half of those people are now dead. Journalist Stacy Milbauer wrote a book about the ordeal some of the survivors went through, and also found some shocking reasons, mostly monetary greed, as to why it happened. Dying in Vain, that's V-E-I-N, with author Stacy Milbauer. Another revealing story you'll hear only on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown, Friday morning at 8. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it. Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives, with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Looking Black. Our guest journalist today is Jared Ball. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Jared, welcome back. Welcome back. So what else is on your mind?
All right. This is, I saved the best for the last.
All right.
I'd like if we can, I want to run through a quick presentation with you and your audience that I put together surrounding Dr. King.
All right.
Because as you know, Each year I get increasingly angry as his birthday and his holiday approach.
Get out my head! Get out my head!
And again, as you know, what I keep trying to argue is that Dr. King is the most known and least understood figure probably since the historic Jesus Christ. Because more people around the world know his name and know absolutely nothing or very little about what he was actually trying to accomplish and why he was a threat or what the country even thought of him at the time of his assassination, which continues to cloud our understanding of him, his death, and what we need to be doing in the aftermath of that assassination. So I'll run through it very quickly, and then I'm sure you will have a lot to bring to it, and then we can come back to certain things if we have time. But I just would like to get this out there, and people can download it. I put this together on a PDF. People can download it for free at our website at voxunion.com.
And also you can go to my website at lizbrown.com, and you're up there, too. So.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Okay, but the quick one is, as some of us at least know, is how Dr. King was discussed in 1966 in the counterintelligence program memoranda. Right,
mm-hmm.
Which had as its goal to prevent the rise of a black messiah who could unify and electrify the militant black nationalist movement. Right, they mentioned Malcolm, they mentioned Dr. King as being a potential threat after Malcolm's having been assassinated. They mentioned Stokely Carmichael and Elijah Muhammad, who they said was probably too old at this point to be considered a threat. All right, and their fear was that Dr. King might abandon, as they said here, quote, his supposed obedience to white liberal doctrine, nonviolence, and embrace black nationalism. All right?
Okay.
So I want to just start with that. And then what we put together were statements and thoughts from Dr. King from his last full-length book, Where Do We Go From Here, Chaos or Community, which people really must read if they want to have any understanding of him as a man and an activist and a thinker, and also some lesser-known speeches that he gave to the SCLC leadership up until the time of his assassination, which outlined clearly the difference in perspective and action and philosophy as opposed to what we have popularized today through I Have a Dream, the dream he eventually said was his nightmare after spending a summer in 1966 in Chicago and seeing that
He was shocked.
Mm-hmm. And he was saying that black people in the North had the right to vote for quite a while, but this had nothing to do with the grand economic structure. This had nothing to do with ending poverty. It had nothing to do with ending unemployment and poor housing and so on. So he was saying what he started to say was not only that his dream had become a nightmare, but that that the civil rights movement to that point, 1966, had been what he said was the first phase mm-hmm. of what was needed to be a complete revolution.
Mm-hmm.
So he talked about the triplets of evils, as he called them, militarism, racism, and materialism. He began to give great and in-depth critiques of capitalism as an economic system, saying that the logic, he said, of white supremacy, the logical conclusion of white supremacy, he said, was genocide. Right. If you don't want me in your neighborhood, if you don't want me sitting at your lunch counter, if you don't want me marrying your daughter, ultimately what you're saying is we prefer that you not exist at all. So he understood the psychology of white supremacy, the system of white supremacy, and how it fit and functioned within capitalism, and began to speak about this. Okay. So what I did just quickly was pull out some headlines from the Washington Post, dating from 1966 to 1968, showing that the corporate media, the elite media, the white media, how they shifted their perception of Dr. King, all right, and how this functions within, the grander scheme of his assassination, and again, that first point that we made at the beginning of the show about the politics of popularity and the need to shape black image to suit the exploitation and rule of black people, all right. So in January 2nd, 1966, the Washington Post put out its Gallup poll, of the top 10 nominees for Man of the Year of 1965, right? So Malcolm's assassinated in 65. Dr. King is number 6 on this list, all right? Lyndon Johnson got Man of the Year. Dr. King is the only black person on this list. He is the only, and he's only one of three who were not past or future. future presidents of the United States. So the country was still in love with Dr. King at that time. If we move ahead a little bit, January 8th, 1966, Dr. King announces his new rights drive, in which he's quoted as saying, "Our primary objective will be to bring about the unconditional surrender of forces dedicated to the creation and maintenance of slums, and ultimately to make slums a moral and financial liability upon the whole community." Right. So his new thing, we're gonna hold those accountable who create these slums. February 25th, 1966. Year anniversary of Malcolm's assassination, the headline in the Washington Post reads, "Dr. King meets black Muslim leader for the first time." So we have Dr. King a year after Malcolm is assassinated, shortly after he's depicted in the counterintelligence program concerns of being listed with Elijah Muhammad as a potential threat to the establishment of this society. Here he is meeting with Elijah Muhammad. All right. Moving ahead. March 31st, 1966, King cautioned and agrees to sidestep his discussion of Vietnam when he's visiting Sweden. So he was told, don't talk about Vietnam, don't criticize Vietnam, and he agrees initially. All right, moving ahead again, April 16th, 1966, civil rights leader rapped on Vietnam. Again, congressional leaders, in this case, representative from New York, Emanuel Seller, threatens Dr. King and says, basically, stop talking about or don't ever talk about or criticize our Vietnam or our foreign policy, or you will not get your new you will not have a new civil rights bill passed later in the year. Right. So do what we want you to do, and maybe we'll pass your bill. If you don't, we will take away anything that we may have suggested was coming your way. Moving ahead quickly, May of 1966. Almost 107,000 signatures were signed to a petition to challenge the House Committee on Un-American Activities to investigate Dr. Martin Luther King. All right? So much like what happened to Harry Belafonte, I mentioned earlier the Red Scare and the Blacklist, here comes HUAC again, challenging and looking at people for potential communist activities, wanting 107,000 people they got to sign this thing, at least ostensibly, saying that King should be investigated. All right? Moving ahead quickly, February 1968, King appeals to Negro middle class. Now, we could put this up and hold it against what today is happening with Cosby. Cosby's going around blaming black poor people for being black and poor. Here, Dr. King is saying, in a very Du Boisian way, hey, we are the middle class. We are the black elite. We need to be helping our people, not distancing ourselves from them and looking down upon them. So he's saying the middle class wasn't doing enough of its job to help the entire black community come out of its exploitive situation. And I'll end here with as close to the smoking gun as I think you'll find in popular press. February 19th, 1968, Washington Post headline. From Roland Evans and Robert Novak, who keeps coming back again, right? The headline reads, "Official fears grow that Carmichael will seize Dr. King's March of Poor." And the opening paragraph reads, "Fear is growing among top officials in the White House and Justice Department that Dr. Martin Luther King's April March of the Poor on Washington will result in a stunning victory for Stokely Carmichael."
And we're going to take a break.
All right.
I'm talking to Jarrett Ball. This is Looking Black. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back.
The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by
Seven Signs Masonry. Whatever your masonry needs, they do all brickwork. These are the best hands in the business. Seven Signs Masonry, 618-338-2871. That's 618-338-2871. Seven Signs Masonry.
This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline London. Another briefing paper from Prime Minister Tony Blair's office has been leaked.
This one indicates that people captured by British forces are being transferred illegally to secret interrogation centers, even though the official government line is that they don't exist. The document is a note from the office of the Foreign Secretary to a member of Tony Blair's office. It says that the government position should follow a statement by Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice that the U.S. did not move anyone to a country where they were likely to be tortured. The memo also asks if cooperating with U.S. renditions would be against the law and how to find out if those captured have been sent to interrogation centers. And Dateline Washington. The highly expensive Missile Defense Shield program, pushed by the Bush administration, has hit a snag that is going to slow the deployment of interceptor missiles, which are linked to a network of satellites, computers, global radar stations, and command centers. They're designed to detect and track hostile missiles launched at America. The idea is to shoot them down before they strike. But recent tests show the missile defense failed 5 out of 11 times, even with the tests weighted to make them work. Now the military wants to slow down the deployment and do more testing to get it right. The government has spent nearly $100 billion of your tax dollars over the last 20 years on this program, and nearly $8 billion this current fiscal year alone. Other failures during tests took place last year and in 2004 that did not even allow the missiles to get out of their silos. Officials say one successful shootdown did take place on December 13th over the Pacific Ocean, and Defense Department officials say the system will work, but computer software just needs to have the kinks worked out of it. Presently, 40 interceptor missile silos are to be constructed at Fort Greely, Alaska. Construction is half finished, but officials can't say when the missiles will be installed. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update, brought to you by
Seven Signs Masonry. Whatever your masonry needs, they do all brickwork. These are the best hands in the business. Seven Signs Masonry, 618-338-2871. That's 618-338-2871. Seven Signs Masonry.
Are you looking to set the perfect mood? Well, you need the perfect candle. Light it up, Scented Candles, 283-1827. That's 283-1827. Beautiful scents, beautiful fragrances, beautiful aromas. Perfect moods require a perfect candle. Light it up, Scented Candles, 283-1827. That's 283-1827.
What is race? What is racism? How has racism been manifested, and what are its effects? The Missouri Historical Society addresses these fundamental issues during the 2005-2006 African American History Series. This Saturday, January 21st, Dr. Michael Benjamin will explore how early librarian Daniel Murray sought to preserve African American culture. Reservations are required. Call 314-361-9017. Prior to the program, attendees may purchase breakfast at the Missouri History Museum's award-winning restaurant, Merriweather's. Breakfast is $6 for the general public, $5 for Missouri Historical Society members. The presentation is free to all. Breakfast served at 9 a.m. The presentation begins at 10 a.m. For more information, visit www.mohistory.org.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
One always picks the easy fight. One praises fools, one smothers light. One shifts
from
today's edition of Looking Black on the award-winning Wake Up Call is brought to you by
Light It Up Scented Candles, 283-1827, 283-1827.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Looking Black. Our guest journalist is Jared Ball. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Welcome back, Jared.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So if I just wanted to say thank you for the time. I wanted to just make that point about Dr. King. We have got to have a better understanding of what he was all about and what threats he posed and why certain forces in this society would want to have gotten rid of him. So that we can begin to pick back up with that mission and challenging all the forces that truly are up against us. And it has nothing to do with your last name or the braids in your hair. Poverty is programmed. It is intentional. It is an absolutely necessary function of this larger economic order and the maintenance of societal control. And Dr. King was on the path to properly analyzing, criticizing, and struggling against it, and he had to be removed. And more importantly at this point is that his image has had to been fashioned and stuck and fixed in a 1963 moment of him saying, I have a dream.
But even a mischaracterization of that moment.
I'm sorry?
Even a mischaracterization of that moment. You know, I mean, it's the most amazing thing. It just drives me bananas every Martin Luther King's birthday to see on another tip of it, to see people that have been diametrically and that are diametrically opposed to everything that Martin Luther King stands for, using this as an opportunity to hop up on his back to say things about themselves that are not so.
How about that?
You know, and Hillary Clinton jumps into my mind immediately with her plantation comment when she looked back at black people and said, you know what I mean. You need to be talking to white folks about that.
That's right.
And the other piece of it is that did you hear the story coming out of, I believe it was Texas, where there was a protest. They say that it was one of the largest Martin Luther King parades in the nation, and people were not going to participate in it. Why? Because the head of the whole Martin Luther King planning program, a black preacher, allowed military planes to fly over the parade in honor of Martin Luther King.
That's unbelievable.
It is just jaw-dropping.
Well, it's only slightly worse, and well, depending on how you look at it, maybe not worse than our local D.C. City Council voting to move his yearly parade from January to April 1st.
Because?
Well, one, the argument was that the weather was better and that I can't remember the other part, something about traffic or something, but moving it to April 1st. And the claim that they claimed was that that was the month in which he was assassinated. But it wasn't, so they didn't suggest April 4th. I'm trying to give the slightest benefit of doubt that they didn't intentionally want to put this on April Fool's Day.
Is it a done deal?
It has passed. And the annual parade, I think, that was set to have taken place today, as a matter of fact, was moved from today's date to April 1st. So I'm not sure what the local response will be, but part of it for me was that, you know, perhaps many of these commemoration events should be not moved, but reworked into something that is more substantive, and maybe we should challenge or look again more closely at what it is we are engaged in when we march or have a parade on his day, when he would have been asking for us to do some of the more substantive and in-depth work and analysis to confront the forces that be into making them into destroying them, rather, not even making them change or capitulate, but to end them.
I guess the question is that what would Martin Luther King have been doing on his birthday 3 months after Katrina? You think he would have been in a parade somewhere?
Well,
you know, I mean, I'm just asking.
Well, my thing is that, you know, my first response to these things is always that he wouldn't be doing anything other than what he is doing now, that is being assassinated. I mean, there couldn't be this world and a live Dr. King. The same way there couldn't be this world and a living Malcolm X. They have to be assassinated in reality and then reassassinated in perpetuity through the shift in their popular image. So, you know, because Katrina, or the conditions that black people in New Orleans found themselves in when it wasn't, and I want to just make a slight amendment to the language, it wasn't Katrina, it was the levees.
That's fact. That's fact.
All right, so you know, the conditions faced by those people when the levees broke intentionally, by accident, whatever, may not have existed. The damage may not have been so severe had King not been assassinated and we actually engaged in the policies and practices that he was asking for us to involve ourselves in. The Poor People's Campaign that final article was fearing was a permanent settlement of thousands, starting with 3,000 people that were to be left there in tent cities. It wasn't going to be a one-day gathering.
And what happened? Did that march take place?
No, it did not.
Now, there you go.
Yeah, and that's the point.
And the other
part of that article is...
I got to go.
No, that's all right.
Jared Ball, give us your website, please.
Foxunion.com. That's V as in voice, O, X as in Malcolm, Union.com. And I just thank you again for doing what you're doing and including me in your efforts. And, you know, I appreciate it. Happy New Year to everybody.
And congratulations.
You know, let's make this world better for my daughter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Take care. Congratulations,
Jared.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
One of the teams has entered the mine from the backside, about 7 miles away from where the fire took place. Two of the rescue teams advance, making sure the air quality is good, making sure that the fire and smoke levels are under control. Once they have secured those areas, two other teams advance outward, searching for the two miners.
12 other miners made it out alive. This incident comes just weeks after the explosion at another West Virginia coal mine that left 12 people dead. Time may be running out for American journalists kidnapped in Iraq. It's the day that Jill Carroll's Iraqi captors have threatened to kill her unless the U.S. releases all female prisoners held in Iraq. More from ABC's Heather Nauert in Baghdad.
Since her kidnapping, U.S. and Iraqi forces have staged a series of raids across Baghdad, chasing all possible leads. Her release is a top priority for the U.S. administration, which has engaged its most secret U.S. forces in the hunt.
Carroll was on assignment for the Christian Science Monitor when she was abducted. Yes, it's him. The feds say the speaker on an audio tape broadcast on Al Jazeera TV is Osama bin Laden. He's threatened new attacks on the U.S. ABC News consultant Richard Clark, a former White House counterterrorism chief, says he's not surprised.
If they were smart and if they had planned, and if they took advantage of our many vulnerabilities in this country that we still haven't addressed, they could do a lot of damage.
Bin Laden says he would scrap his plans if the U.S. pulled its troops from Iraq. Not likely, says the White House. You might notice something unusual if you've watched any TV footage out of Britain today. It's a whale spending a little time in the River Thames. The marine mammal is seen in the water just off central London, kind of enjoying himself. This is ABC News.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
There are thousands marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477.
Ameriprise Financial Services, member NASD and SIPC.
If you're sick and tired of watching your eyes get weaker and weaker every year, repeat after me. I will take a stand against my weak eyesight.
I won't use my glasses as a crutch.
And I will no longer accept stronger prescriptions year after year.
Call right now for a free video to find out how you can strengthen your eyesight using the safe, natural solution. It's called the See Clearly Method. Call 1-800-400-9144. That's 1-800-400-9144. 1-800-400-9144.
Should Uncle Sam see what you Google? The government wants a sample of results of searches from the popular site. Google said, no, that's not going to happen. Sonia Arison with the Pacific Research Institute agrees. She says that's not fair.
Not only are we being spied upon without our knowledge, but now the federal government is trying to get more power to do it even with our knowledge and with the consent of American companies that have grown because we live in a free and democratic society.
Another search engine, Yahoo, said it doesn't mind a government check. Getting to New York City was a lot more of an adventure today than most commuters would have liked. Signal problems suspended service for a while on three transit lines, and this man who was stuck in New Jersey wasn't amused.
They suspended the all services, and that, you know, that we're the last of the Mohegans to be allowed into Newark, and they don't know when that's going to happen.
Well, everybody is there now. A new study says most college students aren't literate enough to handle difficult tasks, including comparing or understanding credit card offers. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Here's a report of WGNU News. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. This WGNU News update is brought to you by tonight's Billy Graham television special. In the news, Ford officials are expected to announce on Monday which plants will be closing as part of the restructuring plan. St. Louis County Executive Charlie Dooley says he's hopeful, despite reports the Hazelwood plant could be on the list. He says the state remains committed to the plant and its employees. Dooley, along with Governor Matt Blunt and Hazelwood Mayor T.R. Carr, met with Ford officials last month in an effort to persuade them to keep the plant open. A December report in the Wall Street Journal indicated Ford's restructuring plan would include the closure of five plants, including Hazelwood. In other news, death penalty opponents in Missouri say African Americans convicted of killing whites are more likely to receive the death penalty. They report that more than 75% of those executed in Missouri were convicted of killing white people. Barbara Poe of the Western Missouri Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty says Michael Anthony Taylor, who's scheduled to be executed on February 1st, fits that pattern.
One of the main facts is pertaining to the Jackson County prosecutor. During the 12 years that he was in office, he had a, not necessarily a policy, but he would, in every single case, when a person pled guilty to murder, except in this case where it was a black defendant and a white victim, he would allow a life without parole sentence.
Taylor and co-defendant Roderick Nunley were both convicted of the 1989 rape and murder of 15-year-old Ann Harrison in Kansas City. The St. Louis County Department of Health and Missouri Baptist Medical Center are joining forces to improve the health of the region. The new partnership is designed to provide specialized health educational programming at the county's health center sites. St. Louis County Executive Charlie Dooley says the partnership is very important to the region as a whole.
And it's about the health in St. Louis County and how BJC, in cooperation with Missouri Baptist, how we can work together to make our health issues in St. Louis County, the issues become for the public and how they can be addressed in a very positive way.
Among the programs that will be offered through the new partnership are diabetes education, smoking cessation, and a variety of other health topics. If one area lawmaker has his way, data brokers will be banned from selling cell phone records in Missouri. State Senator Pat Doherty's bill makes the sale of phone records, including those from landline phones, a misdemeanor identity theft crime. Currently, the sale of a person's cell phone calls is not regulated at the state or federal level, so data brokers can obtain phone records and legally sell them. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by tonight's Billy Graham television special. Don't miss Carolina Panthers' John Casey, Olympic skier Travis Cabral, the late Johnny Cash, and an inspiring message from the New York Crusade in tonight's Billy Graham special at 7 o'clock on KMOB Channel 4. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Air National Guard. Eastbound 44 at the Pacific Viaduct and the Six Flags Allen connection. There's an accident involving a tractor trailer. Only one left lane is open. Traffic backs up all the way to Gray Summit. Westbound 40 at Grand. Look for an accident. It's been cleared. Traffic is now easing. Northbound 55 from Arsenal. There's an accident. Two left lanes are blocked. traffic jams approaching 4500 South Broadway. Southbound 270 before Gravois, there's a car fire reported. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley as they turn back to normal. Eastbound 44 between the Chrysler Plant and Merrimack River Bridge. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 at 79. Look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 between Ballast. Looks for slow traffic all the way from Ballast through Lindbergh. Westbound 270 at West Florissant, look for very heavy volume. Northbound 270 from Sappington 44, it is stop and go. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, look for no problems to report there. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Cleet Station, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB, it is stop and go. Westbound westbound 64 at the 5570 merge, no problems to report there. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the ramps of the Poplar Street Bridge, they are slow. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing looks good. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Air National Guard. Guarding America and defending freedom, that's what the Air National Guard is all about. Don't just sit there on the sidelines. Join the Air National Guard. Call 1-800-2-GO-ANG. That's 1-800-T-O-G-O-A-N-G. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Cooler, rain likely, a chance of thunderstorms even, high around 50. This evening, colder, occasional rain and or snow. No snow accumulations are expected. The low should be in the mid-30s. Saturday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 40s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. And then on Sunday, partly cloudy in the morning, becoming mostly cloudy throughout the day with a high only in the mid-40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under cloudy conditions, we have 51 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 53. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-9468. We are streamed on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net, also at Liz Brown, LizzBrown.com. The Wake Up Call is also archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you've missed an hour, no problem. Go get your hour at WhiteRoseSociety.org. As always, on LizBrown.com, each week of our show, we have all of our guests up, and we have links to information and connection with the stories that our guests bring. So if you want additional information about a story that you heard here on the Wake Up Call, get on over to LizBrown.com and get some more information on it. Again, our number is 1-877-920-WGNU. My show also is you can iPod my show. You can download it at WhiteRoseSociety.org as well. Every week we try to bring you some information that you can't catch, you can't get, you can't feel, you can't hear anyplace else. And this morning, this hour, is another one of those stories. I have to say that about myself, that I have done numerous stories on AIDS. I've had people from one of our advertisers, ConnectCare, their Ryan White department comes in frequently to talk about AIDS and its impact and its treatment. And I must say, all of the stories that I have done, all of the books that I have read, I forgot about the people that got AIDS that were hemophiliacs. I forgot about. And our guest this morning has written an incredible book. It's a combination. I love the layout of the book. It's a combination of the story and photos. Powerful stories, powerful photographs. To talk to us about, to bring us information about something that I dare say a lot of folks didn't realize, don't know, didn't think about. Dying in Vain, Blood, Deception, Justice. We have the author of Dying in Vain, that's V-E-I-N, joining us from New Hampshire. This our guest this morning is Stacy Milbauer. Stacy, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm ashamed to admit I forgot. I forgot about the hemophiliacs.
Oh, well, don't be ashamed. I think that because you know, hemophilia doesn't affect everybody or possibly everybody, that people do forget about hemophiliacs.
Talk to us in your introduction, you start with what this book is not about.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about why you wanted to make that the distinction and why you wanted to make it.
Well, because we didn't want, there have been books written before about the whole crisis of how hemophiliacs got infected, which is basically, you know, it's really a national shame in the fact that it, the product that was collected, they had to take blood donations to create this product, and it was collected from high-risk groups, you know, drug addicts, people in prison, prostitutes. And because the bottom line is because the drug companies were greedy. And but there had been so much written about, there had been, I wouldn't say a lot, but there had been some people who already broke the ground on that story. What we wanted to do was sort of put more of a human face with our photographs in the book and the anecdotes, stories that people told, to sort of give it a personal feeling. And that's what we were after with that.
But can you share with our audience the connection? Because you say that the book is about the fact the infection of hepatitis and the infection of AIDS. Can you inform our audience about the connection with hepatitis and
yes,
AIDS?
Yes, sure. Hepatitis is a clotting disease. It's a genetic disease passed down. The mother carries the genes, and sometimes it's, you know, generation to generation, and sometimes it can just pop up spontaneously. And it's a clotting issue. So there was this quote-unquote miracle drug that was invented that helped hemophiliacs, when they injected with it, stop bleeds, help them clot. And this is this factor VIII that we talk about. But as I said before, it is collected, it's made from human blood donation products. It's not a blood transfusion. I think people get confused with hemophiliacs. It's a blood product. And like any other product, it's made for profit. And so what happened was these drug companies collected these things. They knew that they were from high-risk groups. But at the time, they told hemophiliacs, it was believed that the blood products were safe. But once it was discovered that they weren't safe, it remained on the market. And that's sort of the shame of this whole thing. And once it remained on the market, people they continued to sell the product, the drug companies that manufactured it. And knowing that it contained HIV and hepatitis C. And then when they couldn't sell it anymore in America, when they got kind of busted, they sold it to other countries, including Canada.
You tell the story of some of the suffering that done by our that came as a result of these decisions by these drug companies and the people who have that are hemophiliacs that became infected. Which story is the most compelling to you out of
Yeah, that's interesting. And I just want to mention that I did write this. My partner is the photographer, right. And her husband was a victim of this. He was a hemophiliac who died at age 33 and left two young sons.
And that's the thing that struck me all the way through this book are the ages.
Oh, the ages are amazing.
People that are
because people have to understand that mothers were injecting their children.
Mm.
Okay, and so they had to deal. Like this one woman in our book who says, you know, I had AIDS in the refrigerator next to the mayonnaise.
Mm.
And so there's guilt attached to that, too. But the one I particularly find striking is a profile of a young man named Robbie,
mm.
Robbie Johnson. And I found his story particularly, he ended up killing himself before the book was finished. And he just felt like a pariah. He was, when it was discovered that he found out he had HIV when he was in high school, and he lived in the South, and he was pretty much driven out of town, you know, like the Ryan White mm-hmm. thing. He was ridiculed. He was driven out of town. He's a very religious young man. He loved music, and his mother picked up literally in the middle of the night, which often happened with a lot of people in our book, moved to another town in the South, and he sort of, again, got involved with the church. And he ended up, you know, befriending the pastor and confided in him that he had HIV. And the next day, the pastor basically told everybody to shun him. And in the end, he ended up killing himself because for two reasons. One, he knew that he was going to get sicker and die. And the other one, because and he felt completely alone. And he found out his mother was going to die of cancer. And she also died by the end of the book. He didn't want her to see him suffer. He couldn't bear to see her die, so he killed himself. And I just found that it was like tragedy upon tragedy upon tragedy. And for what? Being born a hemophiliac. And he related to people who were persecuted throughout history. He became sort of a Christian Jew because he felt persecuted. He related to the downtrodden because he felt like he was an outcast.
One of the stories that struck me was the story of Terry McNeil.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about that story?
Yeah, Terry.
Because I love the language. A broken heart is at the center of my life.
Yeah.
Ugh.
She's a mother. She'll tell you. We put her in our section called the mourners, but she really is a warrior. She's kept fighting, but and she won't call herself a hero. She'll call herself, you know, a mother whose children. You know, who lost a child. She has two sons who were hemophiliacs. She's one of those people who never had it in her family. It just sort of spontaneously jumped up in her children's generation, so it really struck her by surprise. And, you know, the doctors gave her this factor to treat her children with, and she felt like they confided, you know, they reassured her this was the best thing, even when she had heard rumors that there was something wrong with the blood factor. And essentially she watched her oldest boy die of AIDS. He died in her arms. He was wasted. He looked like, I think she does this analogy, if he looks like you know, like a chicken with all the sort of meat cooked off his bones. And there's a very graphic picture of him in there.
Yes, there is.
She has another son who also is HIV positive and has hepatitis, but he's and he's, you know, believe me, he's suffering, but because of the new, you know, drugs that are available, he's alive. And he actually got married and has a child now, which is sort of the hopeful part of the book. But she's brokenhearted. She feels like, you know, she's the one who said, I had the, you know,
AIDS.
I had AIDS in the refrigerator. And she had to, you know, these moms injected their children.
And I just, my mind cannot wrap itself around all of the depth of the agony of that.
No, I can't either. Are you a mom?
No, I am not.
Yeah, I became a mom at age 40. I mean, to me, I don't think you have to be a mom. I just think that the idea of, you know, watching your child die in your arms, I don't think there's anything worse.
Putting it in your baby, though.
Putting it in your baby. And in the cases of a lot of these people, injecting their husbands and their wives and their, you know, I mean, people did this to their loved ones thinking that they were saving and prolonging their lives. And even the ones that are still alive, although they're dying every day, you know, they're not living a great, healthy life. You'll see people in my book who basically live in bed. Okay, they live in their beds.
Is there a reason why you took the pictures in black and white?
I didn't take the pictures.
I mean, why did you take them?
Yeah, she felt that, you know, she loves that form. It's that it's evocative and that you're not going to be, you know, distracted by color. You'll look at the subject matter.
You are not distracted at all. I think it was a fabulous decision to put the photographs in black and white.
There were a few in color, as you've noticed.
Right.
In the center of the book, we decided to just go with one particular person, and it's blood red.
Right.
I mean, that's the,
yes.
You know, that's sort of the shocker of the whole thing.
And also, when you talk about the black and white photos, truly depict the starkness of their lives. When you see these people
right.
lying in their beds, and you know that's their world.
That's their world.
Where they are right there at that moment.
Yep. And these people, there's one guy in particular who, I mean, he's got a great attitude. You can't even imagine living this way. And he just calls, he doesn't project too far into the future. He calls, you know, he calls these things, he lives by creating what he calls little futures.
Little futures, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to live until my son goes to the prom. I'm going to live until my son gets married. And that's what he does. He does these little futures. I think there's a lot to be learned in the book for people who, you know, hemophilia or not, just learn how to watch people who are, you know, living with a terminal disease, but they're living with it.
One of the things that I was also struck with is the fact that because these are hemophiliacs, we're dealing with men. We're dealing with sons.
Mm-hmm.
And
there are a few women who got it from husbands or whatever. But yes, mostly it is men.
But mostly it's mothers and their sons.
Right.
That's an additional dynamic to the tragedy of this story.
Right. And a lot of times these women are single moms. I, you know, who knows why? Perhaps the strain of the illness. Not all, but a lot are single mothers. So they end up just sort of being kind of alone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's very time-consuming when you have somebody ill. I mean, you wrap your life around that, and then these children die or they're sick, and then what are they left with? You know, I think that's that whole tragedy of Robbie and his mother. At the end, he'll basically say, you know, she was my only friend. She was it. And then when I found out she was going to die, then I realized I'd have nobody. And so that I, you know, and as I said, this all happened during the course of writing this book. We ended up putting him on the cover, deciding to put him on the cover, you know, shortly after he killed himself.
The way that you lay this book out, the way that the decisions that went into what you were going to entitle each section
mm-hmm.
of the book, tell us about that process.
Well, it's interesting, but the actual physical layout of the book was, this is sort of a family project. Kathy, the photographer, is my best friend. And my sister, Kathy, did the layout of the book. And the reason that happened was because even though it was published, we decided to have that kind of control because, you know, we were the only ones we felt could do that with the kind of heart that needed to be done. So it was collaborative all the way. Kathy, the photographer, Kathy McKay, is really the sort of she was the leader of the group. But with her husband who died, it was her project, her photographs. We sort of came on board later. And we did, we had all decided about these. Actually, what happened was Kathy had, after years of taking these pictures, basically a room full of these images that I walked into. And she really didn't know where to go in terms of organizing the book. And so what I looked at and I said, you know, because I was kind of coming in later saying, hey, I think these can fall into sections. And so we came up with, you know, the afflicted, those who have the disease, who are living with it or who have died from it, the mourners, those who, like Terry, who are left to mourn the disease, people of the disease, the torchbearers, the ones who are you know, carrying on afterwards. And these are people who included, who have children, who had children with these people who have since died. And the warriors, the people who fight, and a lot of those people who are either the parents or loved ones of those who had it, or people who have, like Ken Baxter, who are living with the disease.
Tell us about some of the torchbearers. Let's talk about some of the torchbearers.
Yeah, the torchbearers are, it's like sort of the hopeful aspect of our book, which is why we ended with it. They're a kind of an interesting group of people. We had kind of compared several couples. One of them was a woman whose husband died, and they had always wanted children. They were very much in love with each other, but once they just found out that he had HIV, they made a conscious decision not to have children, which was extremely painful for them. It was a choice. While others, when they started coming up with things like sperm washing, mm-hmm. and my friend herself, my friend Kathy, the photographer, did decide to go ahead and have children. That was another way of sort of, you know, knowing probably that the fathers weren't going to be around forever for these kids. But it was a way of sort of embracing the future and carrying on. And, you know, keeping their memories alive with different things like, you know, fundraisers and awareness and that kind of thing, and keeping the message out there.
So when you finish this book,
mm-hmm.
what is it that you wanted the world to get from this?
Well, there's a couple of things. One of them is a message that goes way beyond just hemophiliacs, which is to stay vigilant. There are things like the whole Vioxx thing that has come to light,
mm-hmm.
Which is a similar thing, except it's actually affected far fewer people. This has affected tens of thousands of people. The FDA, because the government has sanctioned something, doesn't mean necessarily that it's completely safe. I like to think of something, another blood-borne disease, which is mad cow disease that, mm-hmm. you know, we hear about. Well, you know, I'm not totally comforted by the fact that, you know, George Bush said he'll eat a steak, you know, and that the FDA says that our supply of cattle are, you know, fine. I don't trust in that completely now because
you don't trust in that.
I really don't, just because we heard the same stories mm-hmm. with this blood product. And it's pretty hard to keep track of that many cows. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is I don't totally trust that because of our book, because of Vioxx.
So did you before you wrote this book, did you trust in that?
Probably more, yes. And as a matter of fact, ironically, and then the whole issue of having, you know, the blood supply itself, you know, how safe is the blood supply? And I think people should be cautious about if you, for example, I've had cancer several times during the course of this book, and I've had to have a lot of operations. And I've tried to bank my own blood, get blood donations from people I know who, you know, their lifestyle. And that's not an easy thing to do. In the end, I ended up getting 12 transfusions, and only two of them were for people I knew.
Mm.
And, you know, ironically, while I was writing this book, that happened to me.
How scared were you?
You know, I was a lot more scared of, like, you know, dying of cancer than I was. And I was very grateful for the blood that people donated to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think about it every once in a while, and I think, you know, I don't know what's coursing through my veins at this point. I guess my thing is to stay vigilant, even though the FDA FDA was involved in this blood product that killed all these people.
And we have to hold that thought for a second. We have
sure.
to take a break. I'm talking to Stacy Milbauer. She's the author of Dying in Vain. She's joining us from New Hampshire, Connecticut. Stacy, along with Kathy McKay. Kathy
yeah,
McKay
and
was
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. I'm sorry. And what does he have? Connecticut. Okay. Kathy, it was a photographer, and Kathy Bouchard was the design and layout
right.
person. And we will be back. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Listen to the fear that's gone.
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored
by the American National, or the Air National Guard. Eastbound 44 at the Pacific Viaduct, look for that accident has been cleared now. All lanes are open. Traffic still jams at Gray Summit. Northbound 55 at Arsenal, that accident's cleared, and traffic still jams at Loughboro. Westbound 44 at Chrysler, object on the roadway appears to be some pieces of furniture. Westbound 40 at Hanley, look for that traffic to be flowing freely. Eastbound 44 between Mraz Overpass and Merrimack River Bridge, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 270 at Lilac and Graham Hanley, look for no problems to report there. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Laclede Station, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 between 44 and Marshall, that traffic is easing. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing, look for everything to be on the move. Eastbound 100, just east of Gray Summit, there's a stalled tractor trailer in a traffic lane. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Air National Guard. Guarding America and defending freedom, that's what the Air National Guard is all about. Don't just sit there on the sidelines. Join the Air National Guard. Call 1-800-2-GO-ANG. That's 1-800-T-O-G-O-A-N-G. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Cooler, rain likely, a chance of thunderstorms even today, a high around 50. This evening, colder, occasional rain and snow. No snow accumulations are expected, but the low will be in the mid-30s. Saturday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 40s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. Then on Sunday, partly cloudy skies in the morning, then becoming mostly cloudy throughout the day, a high in the mid-40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 49 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 51. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
What is race? What is racism? How has racism been manifested, and what are its effects? The Missouri Historical Society addresses these fundamental issues during the 2005-2006 African American History Series. This Saturday, January 21st, Dr. Michael Benjamin will explore how early librarian Daniel Murray sought to preserve African American culture. Reservations are required. Call 314-361-9017. Prior to the program, attendees may purchase breakfast at the Missouri History Museum's award-winning restaurant, Merriweather's. Breakfast is $6 for the general public, $5 for Missouri Historical Society members. The presentation is free to all. Breakfast served at 9 a.m. The presentation begins at 10 a.m. For more information, visit www.mohistory.org.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Use your exercise bike for more than just a clothes rack. Find out how by attending the St. Clair Life Fitness Fair, 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday, January 20th and 21st, and from noon to 6 Sunday, January 22nd at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. More than just another health fair, it's a showcase for retailers, service groups, healthcare professionals, and fitness pros, all ready to help you get in shape and improve your life. Night Magic Entertainment brings you music all weekend long. WGNU will be broadcasting from the fair on Friday. See a variety of singers, dances, and aerobic demonstrations. Enjoy a healthy snack. Stop by Center Court to register for one of dozens of great prizes. Come on, you can do it. Get moving to the St. Clair Life Fitness Fair. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, January 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Sponsored in part by Night Magic Entertainment and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. GNU. Get more details at sbcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Reportedly, the United States is preparing to move militarily against Iran. The latest flap over Iran having nuclear capabilities may be just the excuse the Bush administration has been looking for. Former UN Weapons Inspector Scott Ritter has been sounding a warning on this very theme for several years now, and it appears he may have been right on the money. Will such military action involve Israel and NATO? Scott Ritter lays out a chilling scenario that could be a harbinger for world war on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
About my legacy, when I realized you were there for me, called on your name, you came, you did just what you said. For that I love you forever, you kept your word to me. For that I love you forever.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am talking this hour to Stacey Milbauer. She's the author of Dying in Vain, and she's joining us from New Hampshire. Stacey, welcome back.
Thank you. I love your lead-in music.
Thank you. You were talking about the FDA.
Yes, and I was just talking about the fact that we need to be, as Americans, vigilant about and not just take, you know, what's being put out there as gospel. The problem is, you know, there's a lot of lobbyists in Washington. Pharmaceutical companies are extremely powerful. I mean, we talk about the tobacco industry and cigarettes, but the pharmaceutical industry is huge, and they lobby people, and doctors are offered these incredible incentives to give out drugs and, you know, trips and cruises. And my oncologist won't take any of those things. She feels like that's sort of an unethical thing to do. But I think people need to be aware of what's behind these drugs and the FDA, is that there's a profit margin. It seems altruistic, but it's a product. Blood is a product. It is actually a product, a commodity that's bought and sold for profit. And I'm not talking about the American Red Cross per se, but for these drug companies that make product out of blood.
Well, the American Red Cross makes profit, too. They sell their blood.
Right. So, I mean, people aren't really aware of that. Mm-hmm. I think they feel like it's just, you know, all about
altruism.
Public service.
And altruism.
Yes. And the problem is that there's greed. You know, there's greed involved. There's money. And when there's money, there's always that opportunity for people you know, for danger. And I feel like the same thing with the beef industry. Now, I'm not saying that's true. I'm not saying you can't. I mean, I eat meat, let me tell you. But I'm just saying to take what you hear and use your own judgment. Don't necessarily accept, you know, carte blanche what you're hearing from, you know, the government.
So tell us about, I think this is a perfect point to talk about, Ellen DePrince.
Uh-huh. The one who wrote Cry Bloody Murder.
Cry Bloody Murder, yes.
Yeah, we have her in our book, a little segment on her, as one of the, believe in the warrior section. She also had, I want to say children, I don't recall if it's more than one, who died of the sort of same thing. And she was the groundbreaker one of the groundbreakers in terms of getting this story out in this book called Cry Bloody Murder. And it was featured in the New Yorker magazine. And she actually had the drug companies like sort of attempt to put a stop to getting this book out there. Because, you know, they didn't want it out there that this was happening. They didn't want their reputations tainted.
And also what she faced in her efforts to get this book out there.
Right. It was Herculean, which is why we wanted to give a nod to those people and say, you know, we didn't totally break this ground. But I have to say, when we wrote our book, we were very cautious, you know, hiding the manuscript, you know, putting the negatives in a safe place, you know, keeping copies all over town. We were a little worried about it, even though there had been so much written about it. Not so much, but, the, you know, Ellen's book. But there hadn't been a photo book, per se. Because this really, as if you see the book, you can see that it's putting those kind of faces. And there's some wonderful things in terms of cheerful stuff, but there's a lot of really harsh pictures of people dying as a result of this in the book.
What did you hear from the children of those who were dying in vain?
And yes, vain for your listeners is V-E-I-N. There's kind of a double entendre there. Well, you mean the kids that survived this?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, my friend's sons, the photographer, she's got two boys now. When their father died, they were very young. They were 4 and 8. And now they're teenagers. You know, there's a huge
gigantic hole in their life. And part of what the problem was when their dad was alive, and this goes for a lot of people, is that sort of, you know, double whammy that not only did he have this, did he have hemophilia and HIV, and later we found out hepatitis, but, you know, people were still in the closet about having HIV, even though he was a hemophiliac. You know, he was a teacher. My friend's husband, who's, you know, we talk about in the book, he's the last image in the book, was a school teacher. And he didn't feel comfortable letting people know that. So while the poor guy was basically dying and looking like he was dying and suffering, he couldn't even really tell people why. So there was like that shame aspect to it. And so, I think people are less so like that now, but I know there are people out there who are hemophiliacs who have this condition who are not saying anything.
And this is in the year 2005.
Right.
I thought that some of the stigma of AIDS had dissipated.
I think it has, but there's, there are still people who have to make a living. Who, it depends on what you do for a job, too. I mean, this guy worked with, you know, my friend's husband died in 1997. But, you know, he had to work with children. He didn't know how people were going to react to that. And he couldn't afford not to make a living.
What was the hardest part of this book for you, of doing this?
Oh, I got to tell you, I mean, my friend's photos, I would look at some of those pictures, and I've got to tell you, to this day, I'll look at those pictures and I'll just start crying. I feel like part of the reason is because I've had my own health issues, which ironically involve my liver, which a lot of these people, with especially with hepatitis, that's how you die. It's very painful. Okay, it's an extremely painful to have anything wrong with your liver, and I can't even imagine AIDS. Okay, and remember, a lot of these people was before they had the cocktail, so they weren't, didn't have that benefit, and I feel their suffering, and I also am very horrified by, there are certain families in our book where we're not talking about one person who died, we're talking about generations of people were wiped out.
Generations of sons.
So if you had six sons, mm-hmm. six sons are going to have this. Mm-hmm. The Ray family, Ricky Ray, a boy who died of this, we feature him in his book. We actually have a funeral there in the book. Their family, many of the boys are affected by this. Many of them have died, and some probably will. And then there was legislation in Ricky Ray's honor. But we're talking about whole generations of people because somebody wanted to make a buck. I mean, I find that criminal.
Talk to us about the Ricky Ray Hemophilia Relief Fund bill.
Yeah, it was, my friend knows more about that than I, because she actually went to Washington and photographed the lobbyists and stuff. But the people affected by this fought for years to get some legislation which would compensate and acknowledge, more importantly, acknowledge the government's role in what happened to these people. And it took a very, very long time to pass, and it took a long time to fund. In the end, each of these families got a very minimal amount of money. When you consider that most hemophiliacs can't get life insurance because of their life expectancy and their problems, this was what they got, was nothing, probably enough to keep a family going for a year.
And what did they admit to?
Well, it wasn't really an admission. It was sort of the government. Now, we're not talking about the drug companies here.
Right.
We're just talking about the government's, the FDA's role in this.
Mm-hmm.
But basically what they said was, you know, yes, you deserve compensation. This was an oversight kind of thing. And as a result, you know, each of these families, because of these hemophiliacs, fought like crazy, and their families fought like crazy to get it. And let me tell you, when these people...
I'm going to ask you to hold that thought, so I'd like to come back and talk about their fight. I'm talking to Stacey Milbauer. She's the author of Dying in Vain. That's V-E-I-N. And she's joining us from New Hampshire. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake-Up Call. Stay with us.
This global news report is brought to you by attorney Albert Walton, helping people get paid for over 25 years. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Tokyo. Japan announces it is slapping a total ban on American imports of beef.
A recent shipment turned up carcass parts that might have posed a risk of mad cow disease. Last year, Japan lifted a partial ban because of lobbying pressure by the American beef industry. Japan is the best export market U.S. producers have. And Dateline Lagos. Nigerian oil workers' unions say they are going to pull their people from the main oil-producing part of that country if government officials do not act immediately to improve their security. The unions say they will no longer stand by and have their workers at the point of aggression by militants in the Niger Delta region. Last week, four oil field workers were kidnapped and are now being held hostage to try and gain the release of two separatist leaders who are in custody. Royal Dutch Shell has withdrawn some workers from a pumping station that was also attacked at about the same time. This has caused a 10% decline in oil output from Nigeria, which has led to the recent rise in gasoline prices. Nigeria is the biggest oil producer in Africa and is one of the top five providers of oil to the United States. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
When you've been hurt in an accident, there are many things to consider. Doctor's bills, time lost from work, medical costs, ongoing injuries, pain and suffering. For over 25 years, attorney Albert Walton has helped people get paid for their property, paid for their pain and suffering, paid for their loss. Before you talk to anyone, call 314-388-3400. That's 388-3400 and talk to attorney Albert Walton for free. If you've been hurt, let attorney Albert Walton's knowledge and experience help you get paid. 314-388-3400.
What is race? What is racism? How has racism been manifested and what are its effects? The Missouri Historical Society addresses these fundamental issues during the 2005-2006 African American History Series. This Saturday, January 21st, Dr. Michael Benjamin will explore how early librarian Daniel Murray sought to preserve African American culture. Reservations are required. Call 314-361-9017. Prior to the program, attendees may purchase breakfast at the Missouri History Museum's award-winning restaurant, Meriwether's. Breakfast is $6 for the general public, $5 for Missouri Historical Society members. The presentation is free to all. Breakfast served at 9 a.m. The presentation begins at 10 a.m. For more information, visit www.mohistory.org.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Reportedly, the United States is preparing to move militarily against Iran. The latest flap over Iran having nuclear capabilities may be just the excuse the Bush administration has been looking for. Former UN Weapons Inspector Scott Ritter has been sounding a warning on this very theme for several years now, and it appears he may have been right on the money. Will such military action involve Israel and NATO? Scott Ritter lays out a chilling scenario that could be a harbinger for world war on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Some kids have and some kids don't. And some of us are wondering why. In my
I'm
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to the author of Dying in Vain, V-E-I-N, Stacey Milbauer. She's joining us from New Hampshire. Stacey, welcome back.
Hi. I don't know if you caught the global news segment. They were talking about mad cow disease.
There you go. There you go. We try to connect everything here.
Well, I mean, it just goes to show you can't let your guard down.
No, you can't. And I caught you in the middle of a thought on the way out. You were talking about...
Oh, no, you have to remind me of that.
I guess we were kind of wrapping up our conversation about the challenges the fight that people had against the government.
That's right. Thank you very much. So they fought long and hard, and they ended up getting this... this bill passed, and then eventually it was funded.
And I thought that was interesting. That is the funding component. It wasn't enough that it was difficult to get the bill itself passed, but then there had to be a second round of battle in getting the bill funded.
Right. I think that happens in Washington, and people don't realize that. You have to understand that a lot of these people who were fighting for this were exhausted. I mean, they were sick and dying people. One of them in particular in our book, we show who's dead. And, he fought with everything he had. I mean, if you look at some of those pictures while they were lobbying, while they were trying to get these bills passed, they looked like they needed oxygen. I mean, I don't know what was holding them together except maybe anger, or not even anger, maybe just a desire to make things better.
And to make something right. And that was just a bill about the government's role
right.
in this. Are there any bills out there? Has there been anything done to address the drug companies?
Well, again, very powerful lawyers, powerful money behind them. There's been attempts to sue them. They've settled a lot out of court. They've changed the names of their company, or not no longer what they were when they started this thing. They've been able to get to people. I mean, it's the drug companies, let's put it this way, haven't really been held accountable in a lot of ways. And I think that really people like Ken Baxter, who's our primary warrior in the books,
and I absolutely want to talk about him, because these are where the color pictures are. And I'm looking at this extraordinary picture of this man covered in blood red. This bald-headed man covered in blood red with these almost like a military bat or medals pinned to his chest, photographs, I presume, of people who have died.
Right, and what he does, he's got HIV and hepatitis, and he has chosen to spend, he had a career, I believe, as a photographer, but he's chosen to spend his life fighting in the memory of his friends who have died. And why he's bald in that picture is because he had something tattooed into head. He's always protesting against the Bayer Corporation,
right,
which is one of the companies, and he has like a Bayer aspirin with a line through it tattooed onto his head, which for hemophiliac is a risky thing to do.
A hemophiliac getting a tattoo.
Right. That's how far he's willing to go with this thing, and he's not gonna go softly into that good night. He is going to fight his way down. This is his cause. He has websites that show his friends dying, very graphic pictures. Friends and people he doesn't know, except that they're fellow hemophiliacs. And he feels like this great, and he does. He stages these protests. He lives in California, in front of the Bayer corporations that he can get to let people know. And then he sort of splatters himself with this symbolically tainted blood. And we felt like that was the only colored picture we really wanted in the book, with the exception of some family snapshots, so that we could sort of I would imagine when people see Ken in person during these protests, they have the same reaction as one would while they're reading this book.
And I love his quote: "The worst thing a person can have is hemophilia and be HIV positive."
Right. Mm-hmm. It's a double whammy, as I said before. It's a form of prejudice.
He says, "If you're a walking biohazard that bleeds easily."
Right.
That's just powerful. That is.
In fact, he talks about
being afraid to touch his own child.
And he has twins.
Right. And being afraid that, like, what if he has a cut or if they have a cut? And also we have addressed to some degree some of the loneliness these people have, Robbie included. He was married at one point. Robbie was married very young in high school. And the doctors told him that because he's a hemophiliac, there's no way he could transmit this disease to his young 19-year-old wife. Mm. Well, she died of AIDS. Mm. He felt that was another... led to his suicide, I believe, because he always felt guilty about that. So a lot
death
of men,
must have been such a relief for him,
right?
Of all of the pain that he was in.
It's a choice. I think people can be judgmental about it, but I mean, look at the life that he faced, and he had to face it without his best friend, who was his mother.
And with the guilt of killing his wife.
Right.
And with being ostracized by the world, and
exactly.
being told by his pastor that, and telling everybody in the church to shun him. Oh,
right.
Yeah.
It was like, he talked about like sort of having like a scarlet letter. I mean, I think he actually used the term scarlet letter.
Mm-hmm.
The pastor actually said we should treat this like a scarlet letter, A for AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
He was even rejected by his own faith.
And that's why he
eventually converted to this form of kind of Judaism, Christian Judaism.
And that has to be our last word. Stacey, where can people get a copy of your book?
Dyinginvain.com, just the way DYINGINVEIN.com.
Thank you so much, Stacey Milbauer.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Liz.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back with Healthy Futures next hour. You don't want to miss it. Stay with us.
Some very bad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. It's a race against the clock for rescue crews in West Virginia. They say carbon monoxide levels are increasing at the site of a coal mine fire in the town of Logan. Two miners are missing. Reporter Larry Bevins is there.
Mine safety rescue crews are now in the process of clearing terrain and lowering geophones into the underground mine where two men have not been accounted for following a Thursday afternoon fire. The geophones will be used to detect sound inside the mine. In the meantime, heavy smoke has forced rescue teams inside the portal to connect to a lifeline as they continue their search.
19 miners made it out safely. Jill Carroll may not have much longer to live. Today is the day Iraqi militants who kidnapped the American journalist had threatened to kill her. That is, unless the U.S. releases all female prisoners it's holding there. Not likely, says ABC's Heather Nauert in Baghdad.
U.S. military officials in Baghdad emphasize that they will not negotiate with terrorists. But they admit that some female prisoners in Iraq may be released. They say that's not in response to Carol's kidnapping.
Carol was on assignment for the Christian Science Monitor when she was abducted. An alliance of Shiite religious parties appears to have won the biggest number of seats in Iraq's new parliament. It's still not enough to rule without coalition partners, though. Election officials also say Sunni Arabs gained seats over the previous balloting. Tired of spending so much time in airport security lines, you may have an option.
From check-in to boarding, lickety-split. That's the goal of new airport security procedures reportedly to begin in June. USA Today reports fingerprinted ID cards are designed to speed so-called trusted travelers through airport security checkpoints. You'll still have to pass through metal detectors, but all that removing of jackets and taking off your shoes could be avoided. Registered travelers will likely undergo background checks. Jim Hickey, ABC News, Washington.
Checking the money scope at abcnews.com. Dow off 61 points. This is ABC News.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
Here they are all the way from Liverpool.
There are thousands marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477.
Ameriprise Financial Services, member NASD and SIPC.
If you're sick and tired of watching your eyes get weaker and weaker every year, repeat after me. I will take a stand against my weak eyesight.
I won't use my glasses as a crutch.
And I will no longer accept stronger prescriptions year after year.
Call right now for a free video to find out how you can strengthen your eyesight using the safe, natural solution. It's called the See Clearly Method. Call 1-800-400-9144. That's 1-800-400-9144. 1-800-400-9144.
There she is. On the Strip, ABC's Al Mancini checks out the new home of an American tradition.
Miss America's CEO Art McMaster knows that the show's ratings haven't been good in recent years, so he says it's been retooled to get back to its roots.
What we've done is actually taken a step backwards and cut out all those games and gimmicks like the quiz show and the casual wear competition.
Miss North Carolina Brooke McLaurin thinks a location change has also helped.
By moving to Vegas, it brought more glamour and glitz to Miss America.
And Morgan Matlock, Miss Texas, believes it'll work.
I think we'll see a real turnaround and more interest in the Miss America program.
The pageant will be broadcast on CMT. Al Mancini, ABC News, Las Vegas.
Have you by any chance gotten one of those new Wisconsin State quarters? Well, if you have, hold on to it because it might be worth a lot more than 25 cents. Thousands of the coins made it through the mint with a mistake on them. They have an extra leaf on the ear of corn. Turns out the inspector was at lunch when they were made. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
For a WGNU news update, this report is brought to you by TomTom. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news, Ford officials are expected to announce on Monday which plants will be closing as part of the restructuring plan. St. Louis County Executive Charlie Dooley says he's hopeful, despite reports that the Hazelwood plant might be on the list.
I'm optimistic. I think the meeting that we held was very productive. I'm in a wait-and-see attitude and see what happens. I like to think of the idea that we were successful, and so I'm not going to take the negative point of view. And so until I'm told otherwise, we're very much committed.
Dooley, along with Governor Matt Blunt and Hazelwood Mayor T.R. Carr, met with Ford officials last month in an effort to persuade them to keep the plant open. A December report in the Wall Street Journal indicated that Ford's restructuring plan would include the closures of five plants, including Hazelwood. After overwhelming passage in the State House and Senate, Missouri's Utilicare program is getting new funding. Governor Matt Blunt signed a bill yesterday that will make new state funding available to help low-income and elderly Missourians pay their heating bills. The measure passed with no dissenting votes in both houses of the General Assembly. It's the first time the Utilicare program has received funding since 2001. Union workers and seniors groups are preparing to launch a campaign against federal health care cuts. The American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees will join a coalition of senior citizen groups today to launch an ad campaign as part of the Emergency Campaign for America's Priorities. The groups are asking Republican Congresswoman Joanne Emerson to oppose cuts to health coverage and nursing home care when Congress votes on the budget in February. And finally, Osama bin Laden is calling for a truce. In a tape released yesterday, the al-Qaeda leader says he's open to a conditional truce, but gave no details. John Robert Legafayouv, a political science professor at St. Louis University, says the call for a truce shows how out of touch bin Laden is.
If he assumes that he can apply pressure on America, and especially American public opinion, to insist on leaving Iraq for the sake of the truce, I mean, he has illusions.
The White House reacted to the tape by saying the U.S. does not negotiate with terrorists. The tape also warned Americans that new attack operations were underway. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We're looking at the Sours traffic and weather. The Sours traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Westbound 270 at 367, bridge maintenance has one lane closed. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry, road maintenance there. Right lane is closed in both directions. 40 at Hanley is flowing freeway. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and Big Bend. Look for everything to be on the move. Northbound 55 from Green Park to Arsenal looks good. Northbound 270 at 44, everything is flowing freely. Westbound 270 at Shreve. Road construction, right lane is closed. Westbound 70 at Natural Bridge. Road maintenance operations, the exit ramp is closed there. Westbound 40 between Timberlake Manor all the way to Chesterfield Parkway. Look for road marking operations. And the center lane is closed. Eastbound 40 between Bryan and Blanchett Bridge. Look for nothing to report there. Westbound 5570 split at the Poplar Street Bridge. No problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing looks good. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, winterize your car at a St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer. Radiator drain and fill, visual inspection, and battery check, all for just $39.95. That's Toyota value. See dealer for details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Cooler, rain likely, chance of thunderstorms even, the high around 50. This evening, colder, occasional rain, and possible snow. No snow accumulations are expected. The low should be in the mid-30s. Saturday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 40s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. And then on Sunday, partly cloudy skies in the morning and becoming mostly cloudy by the afternoon with a high in the mid-40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 47 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 49. Stay tuned now. It's time for more of the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. It's Healthy Futures. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this go? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this go? Our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this matter?
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Once again for Healthy Futures, the weekly radio program that provides you with information on how to take better care of yourself and live a more healthy life. Remember, good health truly is in your own hands. And now, Healthy Futures with Liz Brown and our guest for this week.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Healthy Futures. I'm Liz Brown, and as always, we are joined by the Program Director for Healthy Futures, Linda McKirkland. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Doing great.
Good, good, good. So, Miss Linda, let us start where we always start.
I'd like to, first of all, and always, thank the listening audience for tuning in to the show every Friday morning. We really appreciate you, so I just want to say that up front. And to also thank Support a Child International and Eternity Deli for sponsoring this show every week. And again, the purpose of doing this every week is to bring back help to our community and to, again, constantly remind the listening audience that we have the power and we have control of our own health and we just need to seize it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what are we going to be doing today?
We had a discussion about a show or two ago. We were talking about how do you go through this nutrition transition?
Mm-hmm.
How do you begin the... We want to consistently say baby steps mm-hmm. to this transition because we know and understand that everybody is not going to decide one day, okay, I'm going to do this cold turkey, mm-hmm. cold tofu, whatever you want to do. But for most of us, it's going to take some incremental steps to what that process is going to look like.
And
so,
since this is January where people like new beginnings,
right.
dealing with your health, your
right.
weight and all of that, why not do this?
Absolutely. So we talked about a few things on the show. So I want to just kind of reiterate some of the things that we did talk about. We did go over talking about to do an inventory of what's in your cupboards, your refrigerator, and your private stashes and everywhere you have food
mm-hmm.
to at least determine what's in there and what you want to remove.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody will go and just take everything out, but just decide, okay, I'm going to do better with fresh fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to do maybe... take out the white bread and go to whole wheat bread
mm-hmm.
to make incremental steps to this whole transition. So we talked about that. And we talked about reducing and eliminating red meats in the diet, which is not a secret anymore, Liz, that even the medical community is telling us that the red meats have to go because they're directly linked to colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just an argument that we just don't even have to do anymore.
And people either do it instinctively or they do it because they recognize that or that they're hearing the message. When you ask people about changing their diets, they always say, well, I'm not eating as much red meat.
Right.
You know, so people, that is something that is starting to and has penetrated the consciousness of a lot of people.
Absolutely.
That it's starting with the red meat is a good place.
That's an absolute good point. But before we go on and talk about everything in detail, just let me get through the list
okay.
first.
Okay.
So just in case we don't get finished, at least we'll have the transitional points. So the first thing to do is do inventory of your current foods. Secondly, reduce and eliminate red meats out of your diet. Then go to meatless meals. Do a visit to the health food store. Go from your white products to your brown products, which is your 100% whole grain products. Focus on a plant-based diet with fruits and vegetables and whole grains. And then start shopping at your farmer's market because that's a real inexpensive place to start, especially for the fresh fruits and vegetables.
Okay.
So that's the basic transition.
Those are the list. So we want to go into detail with some of these items, right?
Right. All right. Right. And so now we're on the list. We're going to just talk about briefly meatless meals because we've talked about them before. But again, just want to encourage people who just absolutely say they just can't do without meat in a meal to just try maybe one meatless meal a month,
mm-hmm.
you know, then work yourself up to maybe one a week.
Define a meatless meal.
A meatless meal is a meal that's basically vegetables and grain.
Mm-hmm.
Vegetables and grain. And you might have some fruit for a dessert or something like that. Or you can have a meat alternative, a soy product, some kind of wheat protein product to act as your meat substitute.
And I think that sometimes I think, Linda, that our choices are, it's just habit. We just think that you can't have dinner without having a hunk of meat there.
That's true. And that's a good point because we've been really educated on the Western diet that the center of the diet is this big piece of meat,
mm-hmm.
and that everything else is on like a sidebar,
mm-hmm.
that it's really not the vegetables and the whole grains that make up the essence of your meal, which when you study cultures of color, that their main portions are not the meat, the big meat portion.
Well, think about it.
Except when they merge with the Western diet.
Exactly. But think about it. When a waiter or waitress comes to your table, they ask you, what do you want as your side dish?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the main piece is always the meat.
It's always the
vegetables are the side dish.
Absolutely. And it's just a matter of being educated and socialized to do that.
And here's something that I did. I went out to breakfast or brunch with a friend of mine. And I went to, I think it was a Denny's-like place. I don't remember what it was, but that kind of a place. And on its menu, it had a meal that it was with the Philadelphia, with that skinny meat that they put on the hoagie, with the grilled green peppers and onion. It was like a steak sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I want the steak sandwich, but I don't want the steak on it. I just want the grilled vegetables and Philly cheesesteak. That's exactly right. So that's what it was. So I had him take off the cheese and I had him take off the steak and the guy said, are you sure this is what you want?
Right.
And so, I mean, there are ways of doing, and then when I got it, my friend was like, well, let me have some of that. Cause he said it was really, really good too, because it was delicious and it didn't have the meat in it. So you sometimes just ask them to remove the meat from it.
Absolutely. And again, that's the power of choice, because it's even like when you go to get a pizza,
mm-hmm.
you can say, I want a pizza without cheese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I know that may sound bizarre to some people, but you really get the essence of the vegetables
mm-hmm.
when you eat it without the cheese. And
or you can say light cheese. Or you can say half of the amount of cheese that you normally put on the pizza and then put the vegetables on top of it.
Absolutely. So, again, eating out can still be fun.
Yes, it can.
And nutritious, although you're trying to make some changes in your diet.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I use the word diet very loosely, because this is not a regimented diet like that.
Mm-hmm.
It is a way of eating. It's a nutritional lifestyle. So if I say diet, I don't want anybody to think that I'm talking about somebody's specific diet.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a nutritional lifestyle that we're talking about.
And Linda, can we also, when we fix our meals, start viewing them in terms of portion size?
Absolutely. Portion size. I always, in my workshops and seminars, I always caution people that a lot of times you sometimes wonder how you pack on extra calories. And a lot of times it's because we're not in tune to portion sizes. And so, especially when you're doing the buffet thing,
mm-hmm.
where you have free reign mm-hmm. to get what you want, as opposed to somebody fixing your portion mm-hmm. sizes when you're going out.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you have to be aware of your portion sizes. And just a rule of thumb, if you have a 7 to 9 inch dinner plate, you want to make sure that when you're dipping up your portion sizes, you can see the plate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you cannot see your plate, then something's wrong with those portion sizes. And so we just have to be very conscious about that. I was in one little restaurant and I saw a sign on the wall and they said, do not waste food, you will be charged. It was like a buffet style restaurant.
Wow.
And it said, do not waste food, you will be charged.
And I guess it's because people just load up their plates and then they only eat a little bit of it and then they throw it away.
And they throw it away.
Isn't that something? And
hidden calories.
And when I was in Ghana, when I was talking to a Ghanaian, and I was asking him, so what is it that you all think of us Americans when we come over here, you know?
Mm.
And one of the things that he said is that you're all so overweight. You're all so overweight.
I used to hear arrogant.
You know, no, he said, no, he wasn't talking about that at all. He was cool with the personality piece of it, but he says Americans are so overweight.
Wow.
And then I began looking around the room in the restaurant where we were at all of the Americans, and it's true. And it's true when you go out in the world, we're overweight as a nation.
I think that when you mingle with other cultures of color, and the readily accessible foods that we have here mm-hmm. in the United States, and also with the what's in the foods.
Mm-hmm.
But again, those are just societal things that we've got to combat, because there is a war on obesity. There's a war going on to prevent this state of
mm-hmm.
being.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all have to join in on the war, starting first of all with ourselves, because there's nothing that we can tell anybody else unless we do something
mm-hmm.
in the transitional state to make it an effort on this war. Because I say this, and I say this with all sincerity, that if we don't do something as a community about the obesity or the overweightness of our children and ourselves, somebody eventually will. So then, therefore, the control is removed from your hands.
Mm. And the other piece of it is that there are so many challenges that are going to confront every American out
Absolutely.
Here because of what is going on legislatively, what is going on in the environment. And what is going on job-wise, what's going on opportunity-wise, those are things that are going to exist. Those are things that do exist outside of our health.
Absolutely.
So when we have children and we're adding an unnecessary burden to the future of our children
right.
by not dealing with
right.
the food issue and the health issue in the beginning.
Absolutely.
At the very least, because of all the other stuff they're going to have to battle,
Absolutely.
Make them healthy.
Absolutely. And the whole esteem of
mm.
the children are becoming so damaged. I've been in over 21 schools, so I mean, I've seen it personally, Liz. And an overweight child gets horrible treatment, horrible things said about them, and it really impacts them. It's just enough to be in school with different children anyway, but to add that factor on, it's just, sometimes it makes me want to cry, because you know in that moment, you can only say something in that moment, but that's about all you can do.
And one thing that I'm noticing, Linda, and I'm always, when I watch TV, I get teased by some of my friends that I'm always watching it with this critical eye of, you know,
right.
what image is in there, who's represented, who's
right.
not represented, et cetera, et cetera. And while I am all about, and I talk about it all the time, about making certain that there are images of all people in commercials so that everybody sees themselves represented,
right.
the sad thing that I'm seeing right now, you can see commercials with, you know, the family in a commercial, and you're seeing these chubby little kids.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, that's not something that we need to, do we need, it's one of those things. Should we, I know that we want overweight children to feel valued, but on the other side of that, are we saying that this is okay?
Right, right.
I mean, you understand what I'm
saying? No.
I remember seeing kids, chubby kids
right.
in commercials
right.
representing American families
right.
before.
Absolutely, absolutely. No, all those images are changing, but media literacy in nutrition, that's a whole nother subject for
mm-hmm.
us to do
mm-hmm.
because it takes a couple shows just to really communicate the profundity of all of these messages that these children are getting. But in terms of meatless meals, at least try once a month, and then go to once a week, and then go to one a day,
mm-hmm.
you know, and really begin to adjust your thinking that, and look at a plate that's beautifully done. I'm not talking about, because part of eating is what it looks like.
Absolutely.
So it's just like the colors on these pages in front of us. They're so beautiful, but so can your dish in front of you. So try some meatless meals.
And that's why when you go to Eternity Deli, that's one of the things that I, visually, it is eye candy. It is just wonderful. You go, every time I go in there, I say to Nishania, we need to take some pictures of this salad
right.
because it's a work of art.
Right.
Because of all of the color that's
right.
in it. And the more color that's in your food, that's on your plate, then the better it is for you.
The better it is for you. Absolutely. We're going to go on to the next one, which is most of us, we shop at our regular stores, the regular stores in our neighborhoods. But we've got to make a trip to the health food store, because in order to make a transition from where you are to where you need to be, you have to know what are the alternatives. If I take out mayonnaise, what is something comparable that would taste just as delectable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I take out white bread, then what are my other options available? If I don't do regular fruit and vegetables, then what in the world is an organic fruit or vegetable and how does it look?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be able to know what those alternatives are and then make your choices based on that new information.
Absolutely. So, okay, so shop at other places.
Shop at other places.
Other places. Okay.
And then also the regular stores now have, it's kind of funny, but they do have a health food section.
Mm-hmm. And they're growing.
And they're growing.
Because they are larger than, I know that in Dearburg they're larger than
Absolutely.
They were 2 years ago.
Absolutely.
And they have several sections, and they have meatless sections. But
Absolutely.
Then you can go to places like Whole Foods,
uh-huh.
you know, and,
right.
and where you have this extraordinary. And just as a side note, they're saying that the fastest growing grocery stores in America are the Whole Foods specialty stores.
Yeah, that's something. Because, first of all, they offer so much variety of everything. You go
mm-hmm.
in there, you get cooked meal. You can sit down. They serenade you with
right.
music. I mean,
right.
they have such a large variety of everything.
You will see food that you... I don't even know what this is.
Yeah, right.
I don't even know
right.
what this is.
Right. I ask the person, what is that?
What is that and how do you use it? Absolutely.
Great. And so, again, our next step is to begin to go over to 100% whole grain products. Because when you look at the makeup of the foods that we eat, especially the grain products, you want to stay as close to that natural state as you possibly can. However, in processing, you, especially when the product is in, the end result is a white product, that's a product of the processing and the bleaching that occurs.
Mm-hmm.
So you really only get the base product of the actual grain.
Mm-hmm.
You want to stick to your 100% whole grain products. And again, we've also always advocated for plant-based foods in your diets, mm-hmm. your fresh fruits and your vegetables, always, and your whole grains and your beans. And then shop at your farmer's market. Just go one day and just take a trip and just see the vast array of fruits and vegetables and pick things that you've never had before. Instead of corn, do an artichoke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of carrot, do rhubarb.
Don't be scared.
Right. Or do bok choy. I mean, just take a risk. We take a risk on everything else, so why not take a risk on our health to make different decisions about what we're going to do?
And we're not talking about a different cut of meat, Howard.
Right.
We're talking about different types of vegetables.
I didn't say that. Liz said that, Howard. But also, and another important point is we got to read food labels. Although there are ways and means that food producers get around putting things on food labels, but we have to use it to the best of the tool that it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we can still decide if you have 5 loaves of bread in front of you, the one that has the least amount of ingredients in the ingredients list,
there you go,
I would be more apt to choose that one.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we have to take a break. We're at the bottom of the hour for our Healthy Future show. I'm here with Linda McKirkland. My name is Liz Brown. Please don't forget Eternity Deli. If you want to take baby steps into this, have somebody else do it for you. Have somebody else, have Nishania cook you up, fix you up, make you up a wonderful, wonderful dish. This is vegan cuisine. It is fabulous. You need to get on over to Eternity Deli at 11 South Euclid, 454-1851. How about for a New Year's gift, the beginning of the New Year's, how about giving folks a treat? Take them to Eternity Deli. Sit them down. Have some wonderful food at Eternity Deli. That's 11 South Euclid, 454-1851. Stay with us.
The kettle's wrong, but we got to keep your head up.
Keep your head up.
You're listening to AM 920 WGNU.
Monday morning at 7, we revisit questions of 9/11 that remain unanswered with Professor Morgan Reynolds of Texas A&M University and author of the study, Why the Towers Fell. The 9/11 Commission report said the hijackers of Flight 11 sprayed pepper mace in the first-class cabin. How did they get that on board? How did the hijackers gain access to a locked cabin? All airline personnel have a 4-digit code they can punch in at several locations on a plane that indicate a hijacking is underway, but none of the 4 planes ever indicated that happened. We look at these and other questionable conclusions with Professor Morgan Reynolds, Monday morning at 7, here on The Wake-Up Call. What is race? What is racism? How has racism been manifested, and what are its effects? The Missouri Historical Society addresses these fundamental issues during the 2005-2006 African American History Series. This Saturday, January 21st, Dr. Michael Benjamin will explore how early librarian Daniel Murray sought to preserve African American culture. Reservations are required. Call 314-361-9017. Prior to the program, attendees may purchase breakfast at the Missouri History Museum's award-winning restaurant, Merriweather's. Breakfast is $6 for the general public, $5 for Missouri Historical Society members. The presentation is free to all. Breakfast served at 9 a.m. The presentation begins at 10 a.m. For more information, visit www.mohistory.org.
Spectacular skating, laughter, and unforgettable moments. Hi, it's Scott Hamilton, the producer of Smucker's Stars on Ice. This year's show celebrates our 20th anniversary, and we are so excited. It's a show about the show. You'll get a behind-the-scenes look from the past 20 years and see how it all happens, from auditions and rehearsals to opening night and everything in between. From our most shining accomplishments to some of the less-than-perfect moments, see skating's best Olympic and world champions in this one-night-only performance of Smucker's Stars on Ice.
With special guest Kurt Browning coming to Savas Center Friday, February 3rd, 7:30 p.m. Your tickets are on sale now at the box office, all Ticketmaster outlets, and at Ticketmaster.com. Kids and senior discounts available. Smucker's Stars on Ice, an IMG production.
It's going to be a great celebration, the 20th anniversary tour of Smucker's Stars on Ice.
Science or religion? Republican or Democrat? Politics, education, crime? Or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies? What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan, on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6.
Reportedly, the United States is preparing to move militarily against Iran. The latest flap over Iran having nuclear capabilities may be just the excuse the Bush administration has been looking for. Former UN Weapons Inspector Scott Ritter has been sounding a warning on this very theme for several years now, and it appears he may have been right on the money. Will such military action involve Israel and NATO? Scott Ritter lays out a chilling scenario that could be a harbinger for world war on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. Real life on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I wish I didn't get so weak. Ooh, baby, just to hear you speak. Makes me awe you just to see how much you're in love with me. Be like a queen, a queen upon her throne. Was it sweet, sweet, sweet?
This is Healthy Futures, the weekly radio program that provides information on how to take better care of your own health. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Healthy Futures. I'm here, of course, with Linda McKirkland. She is the program director for Healthy Futures. And, Linda, we're trying to help people work themselves into January and the rest of the year.
Right. Well, again, we just want to, you know, kind of trail along on these New Year's resolutions, you know, to make some changes. Just to reiterate, ways to begin this nutrition transition. Do an inventory of your current foods. Reduce and eliminate red meats. Go to meatless meals. Visit your health food store. Start putting in 100% whole grain products into your diet. Look at more plant-based foods being an integral, the center portion of your diet, and shop at the farmer's market. Read food labels. There's so much you can do to start this transition. And again, we're saying transition because, yes, there are those out there who will make that quantum leap and make the swift changes that they need to make. Mm-hmm. But most people will have to take small incremental steps.
Baby steps.
Mm-hmm. And we stress that because, you know, just do whatever little thing you can do and do it consistently. See the benefits of that. Then make another small incremental change. So there are a lot of things that you can do. But also, you know, we got to talk about, because when we're talking about changing what we eat, we've got to talk about things that we prepare our foods in. I think briefly we may have touched on it on a show before, but we've got to get away from the Teflon-coated pots and pans. Number one is because when you cook and they wear down, the plastic coating eventually wears off. And do you ever think, where does it go?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, again, another toxic thing in our environment. So really for
aluminum
and aluminum. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because, again, the aluminum products that we have in our environment are being linked to Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And probably other things that we just don't know about. So if you're going to cook and you're going to make this transition, you got to go and look at your kitchen supplies, too. So you want to be cooking in stainless steel pots and pans, and also stainless steel spoons and forks and knives.
Right, that's right.
Everything has
that's
to right. be that. Or if you're going to do, you can do Purex glass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you got to make that transition too, because, you know, food packaging is also considered under the watchful eye of the Food and Drug Administration. And I'll give you a good example. If you ever open a can of anything and it tastes like the can,
mm-hmm.
or if you have something wrapped in plastic and it tastes like the plastic, so what the food is contained in, it absorbs into the foods. So we have to be aware of that also.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to look at kitchen supplies
and also
about
kitchen preparation areas as
kitchen
well.
Absolutely.
If you're still doing meat,
right.
You have to. I saw something at one of the stores that they had different colored cutting boards,
right?
So that you would know not to. Okay, the red one is for the meat. So you know always that is the cutting board for the meat. The green one are for the vegetables. So that's. I thought that was a clever idea.
Absolutely.
And that way you wouldn't make any mistake if you're still doing meat in your house, because you can't mix them, and you're
right.
not supposed to mix them.
Right.
So
right.
Preparation place and preparation space is also important.
Absolutely. And that also adds to the safety of it, because, I mean, you can see commercials even on TV now where they're advocating for, you know, certain products that would disinfect the areas where you just put meat. Because
mm-hmm.
we always know that inherent in the meat itself is bacteria and germs.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever you sit it or whatever utensil you use with it,
mm-hmm.
don't use that same area or utensil to cut your fruits and vegetables
Absolutely.
With. Especially if, let's say, if your family that's divided.
Mm-hmm.
So you got meaters in your family,
mm-hmm.
and you have vegetarians in your family. And so you have to be very conscious about trying to do what's best for both of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so, again, we just want to just encourage just transitional incremental changes. And also, as you're making your nutritional changes, also look at vitamin supplements.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Look at vitamin supplements. Hopefully the vegetarian brands, but you can always consult your physician.
Is there any place that you recommend that people start if they're just starting this whole vitamin piece?
I would start at a health food store,
mm-hmm.
or a place where they actually, that's their specialty,
mm-hmm.
and there are people in the store who can help you make decisions.
Very good.
But no, first of all, just get a plain, simple multivitamin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't get caught up in just, I got to have vitamin E, vitamin B.
Not if you're just starting out.
Not if you're just starting out. No, just get a multiple vitamin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it has everything already packed in.
But
I don't know how they do that.
It's still a good idea that you talk to a health food store. You
absolutely.
Go to a health food store because
absolutely.
There are some brands that are better than other brands.
Absolutely.
And so you really
absolutely.
Need to talk with people that do this for a living.
Absolutely.
Because going down the food aisle at a grocery store and grabbing one, if you're going to be doing it, you might as well be doing it right.
Right.
There are better multivitamins for you than others.
That's true. And for even for people who can't take pills, they're liquid forms
Absolutely.
Of everything. And even for children, I mean, there's the market to be healthy is so much better than when we started in 1993, 1994.
Mm-hmm.
So the choices are just I mean, you could just have almost anything that you want and desire, but just have it in a different form.
Mm-hmm.
And so it should make the transition that much more difficult.
Absolutely. Now, we only have a few more minutes
okay.
here,
right.
So let's talk about our upcoming shows. I know what next Friday is.
Yeah, next Friday is the food demo, and we're supposed to have a surprise.
We're supposed to have a surprise. Nashami is making a surprise for us.
She's going to do a surprise.
She's going to do a surprise for us. Okay, and if it was as good as last week's surprise, I'm looking forward to it. I know Miss Nashami is going to do some wonderful
stuff.
Wonderful stuff. So we're going to be doing food preparation next Friday. And we're also going to do something special with the food preparation. We're going to have some folks on.
Absolutely. So I have some lists.
Some folks mm-hmm. that have called in and said that they want to be official tasters for Healthy Futures.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so it's still time.
Okay.
I give myself at least to Monday to have somebody, solidified for the show.
Okay.
So if you still want to do that, you can call us at Eternity Deli.
And that's 454-1851, 454-1851. There's a little bit of time to get in to be an official taster for our food preparation show on Healthy Futures, because we have some folks already set lined up, right? Okay, so we have a few more people that we can bring in. So if you want to be a taster, 454-1851, or email me at revolution@lizbrown.com if you want to be a taster for this month, because we'll have another food preparation in February.
Absolutely. And then again, we're still going to deal with church leadership and their roles in this health and wellness initiative, talking about culinary herbs. We have nutrition plans and strategies. I mean, we're just going to go someplace else, because we've got to make this war on obesity a more active war. Just again, want to thank Support a Child International and Eternity Deli for allowing us to do this every week, and thank you, Liz, for allowing us. And we're going to go back to our original health tip that we started with this particular segment: is I will begin to make changes in what I eat and how I eat.
I will begin to make changes in what I eat and how I eat.
Absolutely.
And again, just like Linda was saying, that you need to, if you're going to start taking vitamins, you need to go to a health food store. Talk to the people that know their stuff. Talk to those people. You also, if you're going to start this transition, a good place to start is to go to Eternity Deli at 11 South Euclid. The phone number is 454-1851.
Mm-hmm.
That's 454-1851. And try out Eternity Deli.
Just try it.
It's vegan cuisine. It is fabulous. Everything. You won't miss anything if you go to Eternity Deli, 11 South Euclid, 454-1851. And we have one quick question let's get to before we get out of here. Your question, please. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. Hi. I want to know the name of that vegetable that you say you can put into chili, and it tastes like old-fashioned chili.
Oh, you're talking about the meat product that that has the texture of hamburger?
Well, yeah, you said that you declared that it was really meat in there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. There is a, the name of the product, the name of the particular brand escapes me. It's in a green package. You can even find it at Shop and Save. You can find it at Shop and Save. It's a meat substitute. It's a green package, and it's hamburger. I mean, it looks like hamburger.
Right.
But they call it vegetable on the package.
They call it meat substitute. They call it a meat substitute. You know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to remind myself to have the brand name of that for next week. Okay.
Okay. Good.
All
Thank
right.
You.
You're more than welcome. And Barbara, good morning. Barbara?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Good morning. How are you and Linda?
Good morning.
I'm outstanding.
Okay, what's that meat product you were talking about? Morningstar, is that the brand?
It's exactly right. Morningstar, thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Isn't it a wonderful product?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
all the time.
And you put it in chili and nobody knows the difference.
Well, I haven't really tried it on my family because they're meat eaters, so I don't know.
Sneak it in on your family. Don't tell them that you're going to do it. Just sneak it in the chili. I will bet you a nickel. I'll bet you a nickel that they don't know the difference.
They probably wouldn't, but they're so funny when you try something new on.
Well, that's why you don't tell them.
Right.
You don't tell them. And then after the fact, then they don't know. Then what can they say?
Okay.
And tell them a month later, too.
Okay.
All right.
My question to Linda.
Yes, ma'am.
I like to eat raw vegetables with the dip with the sour cream. What can I substitute for the sour cream?
Oh, they're wonderful for products. If you go to the health food store.
Or go to Whole Foods. Or even at Deerbrook's. They have this wonderful, it's in a blue and red package.
Right.
It's in a container just like regular other sour cream, and it's wonderful.
Absolutely.
And it's called sour cream. I mean, only it's a substitute.
And then also, when you find a vegetarian, a good vegan recipe book, you can make it from scratch.
You can make it from scratch. Absolutely.
And then you know what's in it.
But there are products out there. You can find it at Deerbrook's in their health foods
section.
And you can also find it at Whole Foods.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
All right.
All right. Your family, sneaking in on your family, too. They won't know the difference. I'm telling you. Thanks, Barbara. Alonzo, quickly, please.
Yes, ma'am. Top of the morning to you.
Good morning.
Liz and your lady friend there, my sister in Christ. Hey, I'm a junk food junkie, ma'am. And I admit that. And your place is over on Euclid, right?
11 South Euclid.
Yes, ma'am. Do they have a list where I can help me, you know, how to cook, you know, the right food for me and
cooking
stuff
class,
like that?
Cooking class, food preparation class this Saturday, $25 at 10 o'clock.
At the same address,
at the same address, 11 South Euclid.
Okay, you got me, ma'am.
Thank you.
Take
care.
Bye-bye.
We got to go.
Thank you so much,
and I'll see you
next week.
Next Friday. Next Friday. We're taking a break. My name is Liz Brown. Wake up call. Don't forget, we're going to have our Because We Care giveaway package. We're going to be giving away the book, The Interpreter. And also the book, Dying in Vain, that we had on the show today, The Interpreter. You don't want to miss it, Because We Care packages, after this break. Stay with us.
All you know is when I'm with you, I make you free and swim through your veins like a fish in the sea. I'm singing, follow me, everything is all right.
Monday morning at 7, we revisit questions of 9/11 that remain unanswered with Professor Morgan Reynolds of Texas A&M University and author of the study Why the Towers Fell. The 9/11 Commission report said the hijackers of Flight 11 sprayed pepper mace in the first class cabin. How did they get that on board? How did the hijackers gain access to a locked cabin? All airline personnel have a 4-digit code they can punch in at several locations on a plane that indicate a hijacking is underway. But none of the 4 planes ever indicated that happened. We look at these and other questionable conclusions with Professor Morgan Reynolds, Monday morning at 7, here on The Wake Up Call. What is race? What is racism? How has racism been manifested, and what are its effects? The Missouri Historical Society addresses these fundamental issues during the 2005-2006 African American History Series. This Saturday, January 21st, Dr. Michael Benjamin will explore how early librarian Daniel Murray sought to preserve African American culture. Reservations are required. Call 314-361-9017. Prior to the program, attendees may purchase breakfast at the Missouri History Museum's award-winning restaurant, Merriweather's. Breakfast is $6 for the general public, $5 for Missouri Historical Society members. The presentation is free to all. Breakfast served at 9 a.m. The presentation begins at 10 a.m. For more information, visit www.mohistory.org.
For up-to-the-minute traffic updates, tune in to AM 920 WGNU during morning and afternoon drive times, and we'll tell you where to go. From your friends at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and get a new attitude.
Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top 6 appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Reportedly, the United States is preparing to move militarily against Iran. The latest flap over Iran having nuclear capabilities may be just the excuse the Bush administration has been looking for. Former UN Weapons Inspector Scott Ritter has been sounding a warning on this very theme for several years now, and it appears he may have been right on the money. Will such military action involve Israel and NATO? Scott Ritter lays out a chilling scenario that could be a harbinger for world war on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown.
Want to win a wake-up call because we care package? Call right now, 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Hello, morning. Now when does the fun begin? Goodbye, morning. Sorry it had to end. See you cry just a little too long.
Hello, morning. This is Liz Brown. Our number here is 454-0400. This is Because We Care. We have two copies of The Interpreter, the story about the United States Army executing their own soldiers, and the majority of them, almost all of them, were black. We had an interview with the author, Alice Kaplan, and I need you to give me a call here to get a Because We Care packet. All I want you to do is to tell me what you know. Tell me what you learned from the interview that we had with Alice Kaplan, and when she talked about her book, The Interpreter. Our number here is 454-0400. In our Because We Care packages, we have wonderful gifts. We have the T-shirts. We have the wake-up call mugs. We have the keychains. We have the water bottles. We have, did I say the T-shirts? And this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful book, The Interpreter. And she was on, Alice Kaplan was on our show just this week. So if you want a copy, we have two copies of The Interpreter to give. And the question involving The Interpreter is, what did you hear in the interview? Share with me what you learned about The Interpreter during the interview. Also, we have a book to give away from an author that was just on today, Dying in Vain, a fabulous book about what happened to the hemophiliacs when they received their blood, and how they received AIDS. And if you, and we just had we had Stacy Milbauer on today. So I want you to call in and tell me what you heard to get this book, to get Because We Care package. Our number here is 454-0400, 454-0400. And the long distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. 454-0400 is the phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU is the number. And also, if you want to contact me via the email, via the net, via the web, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. revolution@lizbrown.com. And I just really think that the interpreter was such a fun interview, talking with Alice Kaplan about the book, about The Interpreter, about how the American Army executed 70 of its own soldiers in Europe between 1943 and 1946. Almost all of them were people of African descent. Our number here is 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. And If you want to email me, again, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. The long distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. And I want to give you an opportunity. I want to provide you with an opportunity for something that you can do on February 5th from 2 to 5. We have The Truth About the Matrix. It's a wonderful game invented by a wonderful inventor. You want to learn how to be an inventor? You need to come on out to the History Museum on Sunday, February 5th from 2 to 5 and learn about this game, learn how to play this game, have an opportunity to buy this game, The Truth About the Matrix. And how do you be an entrepreneur? How do you be an inventor? You come on out Sunday, February 5th, History Museum right there at Lindeland de Bolivar. For information, call 869-4222. That's 869-4222. And there will be a $10 discount on the game, The Truth About the Matrix. Awesome game. We're going to have the inventor on the show next week. Let me get to some of our callers here to see if they can get our Because We Care package. Sonia.
Yes.
Good morning. Hi. Which book are you interested in?
Either one. It doesn't matter.
Okay. How about The Interpreter?
The Interpreter.
Tell us about what you learned with The Interpreter.
Yeah. I'm a little winded. I ran upstairs. I wanted to call you. And happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
She was talking about how people were looking at people of color. It was all about the war. And this interpreter was a Frenchman, and he was there when they were judging this one young man who supposedly had attacked one of the farmers in the area. They were over in France, and that he had supposedly shot through the man's door. He had been drinking or something.
Absolutely. You've said enough. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to let Howard take your information, Sonia,
and we'll have your
Because We Care package waiting for you with The Interpreter.
This is fantastic. It's wonderful.
All right. Take care. Congratulations.
Thank you, and have a great weekend.
You too. Reverend.
Yes, real quick. This is about The Interpreter.
Yes.
How Alice Kaplan went to investigate down south to some of the parents.
Yes.
And some of the relatives of the ones that were captured and how they were treated, and then went to some of the grave sites.
Absolutely.
During that time.
Absolutely. You heard it.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to let Howard get your information, and we'll have a Because We Care package with The Interpreter in it. Congratulations.
Okay, thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you for the offer. Having it on your show.
All right, now.
Yes,
take
ma'am.
Care. Listen, folks, we can't get to any more calls, but we'll do this same time, same place. Next week, we'll give away a Because We Care package. You don't want to miss it. This is Liz Brown. Wake up call. Until next week. Here's what I'd like for you to do. Stay strong.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Virginia is hopeful that rescue crews will find two missing coal miners missing after a fire at a facility near Charleston. Air samples show elevated levels of carbon monoxide. Governor Joe Manchin says he's amazed at the resilience of the miners' families.
The families are strong, and as we know so well.